That's all right.
Wasn't
it's
much
the end of
a partner.
You were fine. It's the end of the week. It's just nice to have you back on the show. Stay tuned for Peter B. Collins, which is coming right up after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. Civil rights protesters say it's not over yet. Black teenager Michael Bell was denied bail today and remains behind bars in Gina, Louisiana, for the beating of a white student, despite his conviction being thrown out in yesterday's big protest. King Downing's with the ACLU.
I think when the world finds out after all the people who came down here that he couldn't even be granted bail, that I have a feeling that people may feel that they may need to come back here again and make sure that it gets heard loud and clear.
Bell is one of six black teens charged in the case, but the only one jailed. In Greenville, Ohio, a young boy is accused of setting a house fire that killed a woman and four children on Sunday.
The investigation has led to a confession, which in part indicated although the fire was intentionally set, the outcome was not. A 10-year-old male that resided in the residence has made statements implicating his involvement in the incident.
Police Sergeant Scott Ross, the boy has been charged as a juvenile with five counts of murder. A big crib recall underway. They're made in China. Here's CBS News correspondent Sam Litzinger.
There are about a million cribs involved in this recall, all marketed under the Simplicity and Graco, G-R-A-C-O labels. There have been at least three deaths blamed on them. Apparently because someone installed the drop rail side of the cribs upside down. That creates a gap that children can slide into and, as we've seen in these cases, suffocate. There's a website moms and dads should check out, simplicityforchildren.com. That's simplicityforchildren.com. It has the recall info.
Mattel today apologized to China for a series of toy recalls.
Our reputation has been damaged lately by these recalls.
Mattel's Vice President Thomas Dabrowski saying the company was to blame, not China, for some design problems with those toys. The recalls have strained relations between Beijing and the company. In Iraq, Blackwater security escorts were working with diplomatic convoys again today. But Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice also announced a thorough review of those services. Reporter Charles Wolfson is at the State Department.
Secretary Rice told reporters private security services were required by the State Department in Iraq, and she tried to defuse the ongoing dispute with the Iraqi government over Blackwater USA's personnel. They were involved in a recent incident during which innocent Iraqi civilians were killed. Rice said, with goodwill, she was quite certain this can be resolved.
There have been more arrests in connection with the assassination of a sheikh in Anbar province who worked with the U.S. military. 25 people are now being held, including the head of the sheikh's security detail. A tropical depression in the Gulf has officials in Mississippi keeping a close eye on the forecast. Mike Womack of the Mississippi Emergency Management Agency.
We would anticipate that there will be some evacuation orders issued for low-lying area and travel trailers and mobile homes in our three coastal counties.
On Wall Street today, the Dow finished up 53. This is CBS News.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba?
Uh-oh, got a split.
Oh, bye.
No, I got a split in half. You know, us amoebas always growing.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you while you're still growing.
Great, because here I go. Much better.
Well, you can both visit AflacSP.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
When you have a family, it's always a good time to buy.
It's a great move-up market.
The interest rates are low.
It didn't make sense for us to spend the same amount of money renting something when we could own it.
Working with a realtor took all the guesswork out.
This is the best market in years in terms of choice.
Interest rates are at historic lows. Home choices have increased and prices are favorable. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
If we didn't buy now, we would have missed the opportunity on this home.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Former New York mayor and now presidential contender Rudy Giuliani spoke today to the National Rifle Association, telling the group people commit crimes, not guns. As mayor, though, he once referred to NRA members as extremists and was an outspoken proponent of gun control laws. CBS News political correspondent Jeff Greenfield with some insight.
He seemed to back away
very strongly from the whole notion that we need federal laws. He said that the state and local authorities are the right people to deal with it. Didn't come out with any tougher restrictions on waiting periods to buy guns. So what this was, I think, was an attempt by Rudy Giuliani not necessarily to win their endorsement, but to tell them you don't have to regard me as an enemy.
But Giuliani's rivals were quick to point out his past comments. Another man's been charged in the armed robbery case in which O.J. Simpson's charged. Charles Bruce Ehrlich surrendered to Las Vegas authorities. He's accused of armed robbery and assault with a deadly weapon. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty good job, isn't it, when you think about it? I mean, basically, I help people save money, don't I? Like, I tell people they could save hundreds by switching to Geico. They go to geico.com, maybe save all this money on car insurance, and the next thing you know, I'm, like, invited to their wedding or whatever. One bloke actually asked me to be his best man. Dear, oh dear. Point is, if you want loads of friends, giving away money, it's not a bad idea.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
If you could change the world, what would you do? How would you use your power? What human needs would you remedy? And while you may wonder about your ability to change the world, you certainly can change your world. The people of Citgo demonstrate this every day. For example, we've contributed over $82 million to the Muscular Dystrophy Association. And we give in other ways to our local communities all across this country, which actually does change the world. Citgo, there at every turn.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Don't tase me, bro, please. Don't tase me. You can have my free speech rights, but don't tase me. It's been a week of straw dogs, some of them still standing, some on their knees. Welcome to this edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, beaming to you from the great city of San Francisco. I'm glad you're listening up and down the left coast, inland to Sacramento and Montana. And people listen all across the world on the internet thing at peterbcollins.com. Welcome. We only have 3 hours, and once again, I am predicting we will not have time to talk about O.J. Simpson, or the Phil Spector hung jury, or whether Phil Spector's hung. I'm sorry, I don't care. We have more important fish to fry, like the phony battle in Washington over the Move On ad, and whether it's an insult to the troops. There's a phony battle that's blowing back on progressives. We'll talk about it with two guests in the coming hour, and we'll take lots of your phone calls, too. Next hour, Reese Ehrlich joins us on the program. His new book is called The Iran Agenda, The Real Story of U.S. Policy in the Middle East Crisis. And we're going to let Reese escape a little early because he'll be a guest on Hannity and Combs tonight. That's right, Hannity and Combs on the Fox News channel. Also on today's program, Brad Friedman, our go-to guy on election protection. The Holt bill still dangling there in Washington, D.C. And we have a follow-up conversation with an actual county voting official. This is Santa Cruz County Clerk Gail Peller. And we had a lively conversation with her last week. And to her credit, she's willing to come back and talk to us again. So that's going to be very interesting. There are a lot of other topics that we'll touch on over the course of the hour, too, including the protest at Stanford against Donald Rumsfeld's possible arrival there as a fellow at the Hoover Institution. That's all ahead. We're live in Sacramento again today, sitting in for Christine Kraft on 1240 Talk City, KSAC. And you can join the conversation toll-free whenever the urge strikes you, and as long as nobody has a taser at you. 888-5-PETER-B is the toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. And if you like it all in numerals, 888-573-8372. My email, peter@peterbcollins.com, or you can use bigmouth@peterbcollins.com. It'll reach me either way. Christopher Hayes writes for The Nation. He's been on our program many times recently, and he returns today to talk about an item that he posted at thenation.com, and it will appear in a forthcoming issue of the magazine, one of my favorites. It arrives almost every week in my mailbox. Chris Hayes, welcome back.
Hey, Peter. Thanks for having me back.
I want to talk to you about this whole flap over the move-on ad that appeared in the New York Times the day that General Petraeus went up on Capitol Hill, September 11th, a pure accident of the calendar, as we know. And the blowback from this has really reached almost comic proportions.
Ludicrous. Ludicrous proportions.
Yeah. Can we get ludicrous, too? Katrina, get ludicrous, will you? He's the guy who should weigh in on this and tell us just how frickin' ludicrous it is. And, Chris, you know, this is another case where the Republicans have seized on a minor, petty, detail distraction and brought it center stage to distract us from the real issues that we face. Just yesterday, we were talking about Dan Rather's lawsuit against CBS and replaying the episode that led to his dismissal. And, of course, the issue was a memo that could not have been the original because the font that was used was not, you know, invented at the time that Bush was dodging service in the National Guard. And
yeah.
Instead of, you know, discussing the central issue that Dan Rather's report raised, they seized on that detail, they derailed the whole thing, and they got Dan Rather out of the anchor chair, which is a mixed blessing.
This is 40 years old. I mean, you know, there's no, first of all, the culture war and the logic of essentially Nixonian politics has just been, it's just the same thing trotted out over and over. I mean, let's remember that in 2004, the Republicans ran against Jane Fonda. In 2004, they ran against Jane Fonda.
Yep.
So there is no statute of limitations on this. I mean, my grandchildren are going to have to hear Republican candidates talk about this freaking move-on ad.
Yeah.
I mean, but this is, you know, this has been the playbook for 40 years.
Well, and it's not an accident. At Thursday's news conference, almost at the very end, as the president was ready to leave the podium and let Secretary Leavitt deal with questions about the S-CHIP program, which was the nominal purpose of the news conference.
Of course, it was not the actual purpose, but yes.
Right. The question was popped. And I want to credit my friend Tom Hartman for identifying the reporter who asked the question. And I had just gotten out of the shower. I didn't know the president was going to hold a news conference. And so I watched, and I was really curious because there were questions about Blackwater. There were questions about the economy. And then out of nowhere, he identifies this guy, Bill Salmon, who is the senior White House correspondent for the Washington Examiner, which is a throwaway newspaper.
Sure.
Which, by the way, is funded by a wealthy Denver millionaire or billionaire. Not too dissimilar from the way Reverend Moon funds the Washington
That's
Times.
Right.
Bill Salmon is a political analyst for which cable channel, Chris? Just take a guess.
I'm going to go with Fox. But,
you got that for $1,000. And his fifth book, called The Evangelical President, will be published this month. Now, I Googled him, and the first thing that came up is a thing called Front Page Mag. And here is an interview with this unbiased journalist who is, it rhymes with Gannon, Bill Salmon, okay? So, here's the question asked. What do you make of General Petraeus' testimony about the state of security in Iraq and the left's reaction to it? Salmon. The Democrats looked uncomfortable trying to criticize the war without criticizing the respected American general running the war. Some were less successful than others at walking this rhetorical tightrope. For instance, Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton directly challenged the general's veracity, which gave Republican rival Rudy Giuliani an opening to unload on Hillary. Bottom line, Democrats were deflated. They had hoped this would be the moment when they would be able to force Bush to end the war once and for all. Instead, Bush succeeded in essentially buying enough time to get through to the end of his presidency with his Iraq policy intact. Dot, dot, dot. There are a couple other lines here. His final comment, well played, Mr. President. Well played. Now, is that Jeff Gannon Redux or what? God! And then, same day, Republicans in the Senate start to introduce these resolutions condemning MoveOn.org as a way of forcing Democrats to take a position on this. And we have a sorry list, and I'm going to get to it in the next segment, of the people who actually bit into this and voted, to condemn MoveOn.org for this ad.
First of all, the sorriest list is how. I mean, I think I'm of the opinion the MoveOn ad was a tactical error, and I emphasize tactical there. It wasn't a moral error, it wasn't a political error, simply a tactical error, I think.
Well, and I think we have to agree on that at this point because of the way it's backfired.
Right. But the tactical error has been compounded by how I cannot imagine how a Democrat, it doesn't matter if you have a majority of one, how Harry Reid lets this resolution get onto the floor. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Well, why? I mean, it is inconceivable that in a reverse position, something like this would, in fact, there were resolutions of this nature that never made it onto the floor.
Well, for example, Russ Feingold's efforts to censure the president.
Exactly. Right.
During the Republican control.
Right. So, it's been, this entire week has been, as much as I pay attention to the news and write articles and blog, I attempt to maintain a sort of cool head about things, but I found this last week to be one of the most maddening, frustrating.
It is outrageous, and they're giving us a theater of the absurd while people are dying in Iraq, and billions of our dollars continue to fly out of the Treasury unchecked and spent in the worst possible ways. And, we see, of course, the critical votes on the Webb Amendment and on habeas corpus not attracting the Republican support. John Warner, we got to put a yellow stripe down his back. For a moment, it appeared that the senator from Virginia was going to become principled on his way out the door. And instead, he co-sponsored the Webb Amendment and then voted against it. Isn't that beautiful?
Well, look, I mean, the fact of the matter is, here's the most important thing that I think the most important development of last week, and it doesn't have to do with Petraeus, it doesn't have to do with Move On. From the beginning of this imperial adventure, it has been clear, if you looked around and you read the right sources and you looked about the way that we were going about this, that the end game of Iraq always, from the beginning, was a permanent base and permanent bases and a permanent place for U.S. troops in the Middle East. That was always there, and yet it was the thing that no one ever wanted to talk about. They want to talk about WMD. They want to talk about regime change. They want to talk about stand up, stand down. They want to talk about stay the course. They want to talk about a free Iraq, a democratic Iraq, about this person, that person. No.
Don't forget cut and run. Go ahead.
Cut and run. It has been from the beginning, if you go back and you look at the people who have pushed the war and the way they thought about it, all the way back in the early 90s, it has always been about a force projection of the American military power in the most volatile region of the world with the oil reserves and getting a toehold in the region long-term, permanent basis. And yet that's never been discussed. Now, finally, the elephant has been sort of announced itself last week.
Oh, Chris, you liberals are all alike. You don't recognize your own role in this. It's only Democrats who politicize the war. It's only Democrats who politicize the Petraeus Report. It's only Democrats who politicize the U.S. attorney scandal. Only Democrats who politicize the missing White House emails. And you're probably ready to strangle me now. Let's take a break and we'll resume. We're taking phone calls. If you'd like to talk about this phony flap about the Move On ad and how it dissed the troops and the way the Republicans have seized this moment, call me now. 888-5 Peter B. Go ahead, politicize. 888-573-8372. We'll continue in a moment with Christopher Hayes. Read his column at thenation.com.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by and have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Be sure to try the chow fun noodles with broccoli and hot and sour soup. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's Restaurant in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. That's 394-5117. Jim's is top for takeout and great for catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside, 394-5117.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show from San Francisco. Chris Hayes is with us from the Nation. We're talking about the Move On ad and the backlash. General Petraeus?
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. Come around, up to no good. Broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood. Got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
You can share a comment toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Chris Hayes writes at thenation.com and in the next publication of the magazine, in sending General Petraeus to Capitol Hill, the White House was trying to have it both ways, to smuggle in a radical and unpopular agenda under the sainted mantle of an outstanding soldier. When Move On called this move BS by taking out a full-page ad in the Times, accurately pointing out that Petraeus was cooking the books to paint a rosy picture. Not only Republicans, but the majority of mainstream pundits acted as if the group had violated an unspoken taboo. The Washington Post's Richard Cohen sniffed at the ad, recalls the ugly McCarthy era, adding that... God, I can't believe that. Adding that MoveOn.org and the late senator from Wisconsin share a certain fondness for the low blow. Now, Chris, this is really such a reach, because clearly MoveOn has the free speech right to express the point of view it did, and even if we want to concede in hindsight that it blew up on them, this piling on by the Senate with this resolution and this sanctimonious posing by the president in response to what I believe was a planted question from this guy Salmon, it just really stinks. Yet the media simply, feeds on the controversy and doesn't give people the context of where it came from and just how fake it is.
Right. I mean, that, you know, it's become, you know, we get these sort of... these sort of perpetual motion machines, you know. Things get covered because they're in the news, and then they get covered more. So this is clearly going to be one of them. I mean, the thing that I take solace from is that I really don't think it matters at a certain level. I mean, it certainly doesn't matter in terms of when this war is going to end and when this occupation is going to end, and I don't think it matters in terms of how it's shaping people's opinions of it. I mean, you know, people who are... say Republican primary voters are disposed to think the worst of MoveOn anyway. MoveOn members are going to defend MoveOn, and you know the people in the middle who are going to matter, independents who are going to matter, a year from now when we're trying to elect a Democrat president. I can't imagine that they're going to care one way or the other about a MoveOn ad. You know, they're going to care about what are we still in Iraq and are we ever going to get the hell out? So. You know, it's one of these things that it's getting a lot of coverage, but and as frustrating, maddening as the entire pageant has been for the entire week, from the beginning, from when Petraeus, you know, showed up on Capitol Hill and basically kicked the can down the road for another 6 months. From that moment on, everything's been so sort of maddening and frustrating, and yet the polls show that public opinion hasn't shifted at all. Mm-hmm. So. I mean, that's the sort of one silver lining in all this is that, you know, people, I think, are smarter than than Fox News gives them credit for sometimes.
So what's the opposite of a silver lining, Chris? You're the wordsmith here. Whatever it is, that's what we're facing because, sure, this will evaporate and it's a tempest in a proverbial teapot.
Right.
But it has served the purpose as part of this overarching strategy to divide and confuse the Democrats in their right. efforts to attract Republicans to some sort right. of a position opposing the president. And what we've seen is that the attempts at moderation have now failed, and I hope Harry Reid will go and start a real filibuster and force the Republicans to define themselves on a daily basis.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, you know, my wife and I were watching the news the other night, and she said, I cannot believe these senators voting against the Webb Amendment are going to be able to go back to their districts and say, I voted against, you know, I voted against rest time for the troops. I mean, that's essentially what it comes down to at this point. I think the Webb Amendment is a smart amendment, and I just can't imagine. I mean, I'm no parliamentary tactician, that's for sure. And, you know, and God knows that I know that it's one of these things where it's very easy to sort of kind of criticize the parliamentary tactics of the Democratic leadership, and often I have as well. And I wouldn't deign to kind of understand the ins and outs of the mechanism. That said, I can't imagine that... that sustained attention on what the content of the Webb Amendment is could possibly be good for the Republicans that are opposing it. I agree with you. I mean, I hope that essentially this gets molded into a battering ram and then they just start not trying to knock down the door. I mean, other than that, I mean, look, these are the options. Either something happens this time around or this is being passed off to the next president. And let me say this.
Do it quickly. Go ahead.
On a radio program, on the record. If this gets passed off to the next president, we're not going to be in Iraq for another year or 2 years or 3 years or 5 years. We're going to be in another Iraq for 10 years or 20 years.
That's Chris Hayes from The Nation. Coming up next, Rick Perlstein will continue this conversation about the backlash over the MoveOn ad. Join me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter and by Tourism Ireland. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. For the first time in 30 years, the American dollar is now worth exactly the same as the Canadian dollar. U.S. currency had been sliding anyway against the euro and other world currencies. But yesterday, at least partly because of the Federal Reserve's decision to lower interest rates, investors dumped dollars, pushing the euro to record highs. It costs over $1.40 now to buy a euro. And so, now it's more expensive than ever for us to vacation abroad or to buy oil, which is priced in dollars but imported from places like the Middle East. And American products and businesses are cheaper than ever for Europeans and oil-producing countries to buy up. That story after this. You know, Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter is really one of a kind. First of all, it's a natural peanut butter that doesn't need refrigeration to prevent significant separation. It contains no refined sugar and no hydrogenated oil. But Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter is deep roasted for a sensational peanut taste. And it contains 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s per serving. Now Smart Balance means more than delicious buttery taste. It also means delicious peanutty taste. Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter. I want to tell you about a place in Europe that's just waiting to be discovered where breathtaking natural wonders leave even a seasoned traveler speechless. Ancient castles where you can live like a king. Bustling cities where culture and fine dining and vibrant nightlife meet. I'm talking about Ireland. Because, you know, in Ireland, not a day goes by without something new being discovered. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com or call 1-800-SHAMROCK for your free Ireland vacation planner. One of the main reasons the price of oil seems so high to us now is that in addition to the pressures of supply and demand, oil is a commodity that's denominated in U.S. dollars per barrel. U.S. dollars are worth much less now in terms of other currencies, and so it takes a lot more of them to buy not just oil, but anything. And it takes fewer euros or other foreign money to buy products or properties here. Yesterday, for example, a stock exchange in the Persian Gulf Emirate of Dubai announced plans to buy a big stake in our NASDAQ, and a minority stake in one of our major private equity firms, the Carlyle Group, was sold to the government of Abu Dhabi. When Canadians visited here for the last 30 years, they had to pay a premium for everything they bought because their money was worth less than ours. Not anymore. Their dollar and ours are in parity now. And because of the dollar slide, our exports have risen 11% through August of this year. Boeing jet airliners cost the world that much less. The Osgood File. I'll see you on the television come Sunday morning on CBS. This is Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia Natural Foods Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, and Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Hi, this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Well, it may not be on Nancy's table, but it's right here on Peter B.'s table.
You
Thank you, Neil. That's Neil Young, the minstrel of the Santa Cruz Mountains, from his Living During War, Living With War. I can't remember the exact title of the CD, from the summer of 2006. I'm Peter B. Collins. We're talking about the incredible overreaction, the posturing, the phony political theater. Not about death and destruction in occupied Iraq. Not about our wayward Blackwater contractors who blew away up to 20 innocent Iraqi civilians in the past week, and who are, by the way, back on the streets in Baghdad. Nope. It's just another phony distraction. They seized upon the MoveOn ad, General Petraeus, got all huffy, all puffy, and then the softball question to the president at Thursday's news conference. And then the Senate wrangled over a couple of resolutions and finally passed one condemning MoveOn.org. And let us now, for you, name the sorry senators who call themselves Democrats and took the sucker punch. In alphabetical order, if you will. Baucus from Minnesota, from Montana. And if we have any Montanas listening, and if you'd like to call and talk about Max Baucus, I'd love to hear from you. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number. Evan Bai of Indiana. Ben Cardin of Maryland. Tom Carper of Delaware. Casey of Pennsylvania. Kent Conrad of North Dakota. Byron Dorgan of North Dakota. Diane Feinstein of California. Tim Johnson, will give him some slack. He's still recovering from a stroke. No, I'm not giving him any slack. It's a stupid vote, Tim. Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota. Senator Cole from Wisconsin. Herb is his first name. Mary Landrieu, the senator from oil and gas in Louisiana. Patrick Leahy? Patrick Leahy? This is incredible. Blanche Lincoln. She's pretty useless, from Arkansas. Claire McCaskill, a freshman from Missouri. Yeah, you know, she's got to face the voters in 5 years. You can understand why she'd have to join the Republicans on this misguided measure. Mikulski of Maryland. The Nelson brothers. They're not really brothers, but I think they escaped from the Republican Party at the same time. Nelson of Florida and Ben Nelson of Nebraska. Pryor of Arkansas, he's been really lame on these issues. Salazar of Colorado, a huge disappointment. Tester of Montana, you didn't have to do that. And Webb of Virginia. I'm really just floored that so many Democrats, as they are fighting to try to attract Republicans to the Webb Amendment about limiting troop rotations, to the Arlen Specter, Pat Leahy bill that was intended to do a minor Band-Aid fix on the Military Commissions Act about habeas corpus. In the middle of that struggle, these Democrats could be so stupid as to vote for a Republican canard like this. Rick Perlstein joins us. He blogs at americasfuture.org. Rick, welcome to the show again today. How you doing?
Hey, Peter. It's more than just a distraction. It's more than just a canard. It's an intentional Republican propaganda campaign cooked up, you know, in some back room somewhere. And they design these sucker punches in advance. And the Democrats lean into the punch. They lean into the punch.
Well, they almost kind of put nose, you know, finger to nose and said, come on, come on, deck me. And your colleague, Bob Borisage, correctly stated it in two words, craven fools.
Craven fools, yeah. I mean, it reminds me of, do you remember in 2004? I mean, it's a, you know, it's hard keeping track of all the outrages. Let me remind you of one that might have slipped your memory. In 2004, Prime Minister Alawi came to America and gave a speech before a joint session of Congress. And, you know, he also made all kinds of distortions and lies. And John Kerry actually had the courage to criticize the distortions and lies in his speech politely, by the way, and the Republicans rammed it down our throats that the Democrats were attacking the sovereign leader of this nation. And then, lo and behold, a week later, it turns out that the White House had written a lousy speech.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they do this on purpose. They put people up as their spokesmen who are supposedly beyond reproach, beyond criticism, in order to trap Democrats when they do the sane thing, when they do the responsible thing, when they do the thing that any decent citizen should do. It's all a plan, and the Democrats played into the plan. They have no tactical sense. They have no strategic sense. I mean, Peter, in the 1980s and the 1990s, do you ever remember the Republicans in Congress voting to censure the Christian Coalition?
No, they never got around to that.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a surging, new, game-changing, insurgent activist base in your party, by the way, raising millions of dollars for these guys, millions of dollars, you don't crap on them. You didn't have FDR saying, oh, this AFL-CIO, they're very loud and noisy and embarrassing when they had these sit-in strikes. No, he worked with the CIO. He made them an ally because the CIO delivered him the greatest landslide in American history in 1936.
Mm-hmm.
These guys do the opposite. They hate the people who vote for them. They hate their base. They hate their responsibilities to exert civilian control over the military. I'm really, really mad.
Well, it's just stunning to see this occur and to see the Democrats repeatedly take the bait. And I have to say, Rick, that I am joining many of my listeners in moving to a very cynical posture about the Democratic leadership. I know that Pelosi and Reid have good intentions, but, you know, on their watch, we got the NSA amnesty bill. Never should have ever seen the light of day on the floor of either house. That's what the majority prerogatives entitled them to do. And yet they were mau-mau'd into putting that on the floor. You know, I was out of the country, but I heard there was some deal about no recess appointments in August. And, you know, if you're going to strike a deal, make a deal over something important. And maybe even the Gonzalez and Rove resignations were part of some deal between the White House and Reid and Pelosi. But come on. We've got to really deal with the most critical issues before us, and that is the failed occupation of Iraq and the death, destruction, and wasted money that is going to continue because of the political division that Bush has been successfully able to create.
I mean, brother. I mean, and one of the things that they do, another part of this capitulation that they keep on handing the Republicans, is every time they're not able to get 60 votes for a Senate vote, they hand the Republicans these petitions that basically say they're not going to they're not going to stand up and make the Republicans filibuster.
Yeah.
They literally unanimous consent petitions. You know, the Democrats unanimously say, well, we realize that we have the majority, but we don't have 60 votes, so we're just going to capitulate. We're not going to make the Republicans show the public kind of obstructionist they are for the agenda that the vast majority of Americans support. I mean, they just capitulate. And one of the things that they think that they're doing, Peter, they think that this is about legislating. They say, if we can't pass a law, what's the point of making waves? What they don't understand is that the legislative process is also a political process. When you legislate and when you schedule the kind of votes that you schedule, you're making an argument about what kind of party you are. You say, we're making an argument that we're the kind of party that stands up for the American people, against the Republicans, against the obstructionists, against the intimidators, and let the American people see for 2008, for 2010, and 2012 what they're going to get the next time they vote for these conservative Republicans.
Yeah. Rick Perlstein with us. He blogs and writes columns at ourfuture.org. That's the Campaign for America's Future. Rick, just hold on. You won't feel a thing, but I'm going to switch you over to another box here so that I can bring on some listener calls right now. Up first, Harold in Sacramento. Welcome, Harold. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Peter B. Hey, it's been nice listening to you for the last couple of weeks, you know.
Well, thank you. I'm
for Christine.
I'm having a great time, and I love you folks in Sacramento. A lot of very well-informed listeners there. Tell me what you think about this this phony struggle over the move-on ad.
Oh, man, you know, I think they're just posturing. They have made such a mess of everything. We have so many loose ends to pick up. I can't believe you just don't know where to start.
You know?
Well, Harold, let me start here. I am amazed that repeatedly and routinely the Republicans can seize a moment where they are on the defensive, accuse the Democrats of politicizing something, and get away with it.
I know, and they're hypocrites, man. Jeez. Now, I don't understand it, but, you know, we've got a big mess to clean up when, you know, when we get back into power.
Yeah, absolutely. Rick, what do you say about that? It's just incredible that you and I can see it from miles away,
Yet
those who are inside the Capitol, I mean, have they been subjected to... I'm trying to think of it. No, I'm thinking of the gizmo in the Men in Black movie where everybody got neuralized. They used the neuralizer to cause amnesia.
Well, this is the neuralizer that happens in Washington. Basically, these guys think like legislative technocrats. And, you know, I'm making kind of a technical argument. It's basically this. When they're sitting there on the House floor, on the Senate floor, they're saying, how can we pass a law? But they're not thinking, well, there's two things we could do. We could try and pass a law, but if it's impossible for us to pass a law, we can make a point. We can make an argument. We can stand up and show the American people what the Democratic Party believes vis-a-vis what the Republican Party believes. You know, every time one of these votes in the Senate goes 56 to 44,
mm-hmm.
56 Democrats voting for it, or 56, you know, set of Democrats, 54 Democrats and a couple of Republicans voting for it.
Right, uh-huh.
The newspapers reported every time Democrats fail to pass legislation.
Exactly.
They don't say Democrats succeed in getting a majority to do the people's business, and Republicans obstruct the people's business.
Well, and Rick, I think it's really time, and I've been trying to be patient with the Democratic leaders and their intermediate steps. But it's very clear that the only way to get a message to this White House is to refuse to appropriate more money for the occupation of Iraq. And they need
Obviously.
To stand firm on this upcoming supplemental and say it will not leave the Appropriations Committee in the House until the president changes course in a way that is consistent with the Democrats' demands. And
take on the lie.
Yeah.
No one's going to lose their button. You know, no one's going to lose their M16 in the field because of anything that happens in the Senate. In fact, any congressional vote for appropriations will be, we'll give you as much money as you want as long as the money is used to support the troops by withdrawing them from the line of fire.
Yeah. Hey, Rick, I want to get one more comment from you, and the cell phone's not so great, so I've got a bunch of callers, and I'm going to move on in the next segment. But I just wanted to get you. That's okay. I wanted to get your take on this guy, Bill Salmon, S-A-M-M-O-N, who popped the question to Bush, the softball, at the very end of the press conference on Thursday. He works for Fox News. What I've got is that he's a correspondent for the Washington Examiner, and you think he writes for Reverend Moon's Times. Which one is it? Do you know?
I've never heard that he writes for the Examiner. Maybe he does it on a guest basis. He writes for the Times.
Really?
Basically, he was, this, you know, like they're very good at the propaganda campaign. They have Bill Salmon ask the last question of the press conference. It's set up. You know, it's a dummy knock him out of the park softball. And because it's the last question, no other reporter can follow up when the president lies.
Right.
That's an old trick, oldest trick in the book. And the Democrats would do very well to point it out, but they won't. And, you know, basically it's part of this propaganda machine that the Democrats are acquiescing to. Bill Salmon is practically working for the White House. When he asks a question, what do you think of MoveOn.org,
Right.
It's all planned in advance. It's all coordinated in advance.
Well, let's all remember, Salmon, it rhymes with Gannon.
And it's very tasty with a nice chipotle sauce.
Thank you, Rick. We'll talk again soon. That's Rick Perlstein. Read him at ourfuture.org. If you got a line, hold on to it. If you want to call, there's one line available, 888-5-PETER-B. We'll take your calls right after this break on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're taking your calls about this phony dust-up over the MoveOn.org ad and the fact that 22 alleged Democrats, members of the Senate, voted for a resolution condemning MoveOn.org. And this, of course, was force-fed by the White House and the Republican attack machinery. And I'm just outraged that this can continue and that Democrats continue to get snookered and skunked. It's like they don't have their eyes open. Let's go to, line two is Douglas in Sacramento. Douglas, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you, Peter B. Actually, my point is we've all been had because the resolution did not condemn MoveOn.org. Randy Collins read on the air twice this morning, and it said that basically we, the members of the Senate, will not condemn or name-call General Petraeus or any other member of the military. So we've been lied to. The media hyped it as a condemnation of MoveOn when it wasn't.
Well,
so we let the Republicans say, we're going to do this. Ha-ha, we did it.
Well, Douglas, I understand your point, but it was very clearly in reaction to the MoveOn ad. It was fueled by the softball question to the president. And there's simply no doubt as to the intent of this legislation.
Yeah,
and for these Democrats to support it is just ridiculous. They really need to stand for the free speech rights of individuals during wartime. This is when it is most critical. And to allow this kind of backlash to silence people is simply wrong, and it's bad for the country.
But with the media the way it is, How much of their point is going to get out if they vote, if they take time to fight it, saying this is what it's really about when that's not what it says it's about?
Well, Douglas,
the media is not going to allow them to state their case fully. They never do. They haven't in years. Look at what happened with Dan Rather.
Okay, so that means the Democrats should simply accept the intimidation and operate as lemmings.
Well, no, but I think they...
You're telling me that Diane... Wait, Douglas, that Diane Feinstein cannot stand up and say, well, I personally don't agree with the tone of the Move On ad. I thoroughly defend their right to express themselves in the manner that they did.
But Move On wasn't mentioned in the resolution.
But, Douglas,
somebody could have said, I think that's what it's about.
No, that's what the debate was about. It was all very clear. And these are the kind of games that are played in the United States Senate. Don't let that technical issue fool you, okay? Thank you, Douglas. Now to Roger in Cape. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Peter. Hey, I take a little different view of this. I was an officer in Vietnam, and then I went to graduate school at Berkeley, so I fully support student movements and the anti-war activity and stuff like that. I don't have a problem with that. I think it's good for them to be out there. But I think that the issue is, given the backdrop of the war, and then another issue, the Judeo-Christians keep threatening revolt over the immigration, is that from the officers, or guys like myself, are also for life. We're not in uniform, but it means that we have to think now about what the relationship is between MoveOn.org saying that Judeo-Christians threatening revolt. It's not that they're the same. On paper, they're different. I know that. But the thing is that with one group threatening revolt and another group, you know, initiating, negative attitudes toward the military, it's not clear to us. And if you listen to Bush's response, he's almost like a wet dog. He was concerned about that. You know, and I think that I look at the Senate vote as being a reaffirmation that they're not going to turn on us on the military. I mean, you know, a lot of the people here in the United States come from nations in the Euro-Mediterranean stock where the populations have shifted loyalty radically over periods of a decade or so. And during conflicts, it can shift overnight. So, you know, we don't know what they're going to do.
Well,
you know,
Roger, I hear your point. I hear your point. But to try to link the anti-immigration, you know, fanatics in this country to the expression of MoveOn.org and others who honestly question what General Petraeus told us. And you know,
it's the insult.
Well, I'm sorry. Who says that because he is a general, that General Petraeus is above any kind of comment or insult? I'm sorry.
One does. That's not the problem. It's the doubt that it introduces between the military and the civilian population.
Well, this is important because, you know, Admiral Fallon, from all reports, doesn't agree with General Petraeus. Only he is silenced, and Petraeus is put forward as this oracle who is delivering faulty information, some of it intentionally misleading the American public. And and simply sit back and fold our hands and say, well, we got to respect the general. We really can't speak up. We can't fight for the truth, and we cannot fight for...
Let me make one remark about his sense of progress. Is that there was a structural change that these guys are engineering, where they're shifting to working with the warlords, is what we should have done originally, you know, and working with the Baathists of Saddam's people, which we should have done, and that would have been normal procedure in a war had the Bushes and their Air Force people not gotten involved in it. During Reagan's presidency, their argument about Air Force people getting control of the military, because the guys are like jockeys. They don't know anything about manpower.
Roger, I'm sorry. I'm out of time this hour, and we're going to take this up again at 1:30 the next hour. So if you want to call back, I'll talk with you further. I'm sorry I didn't get to all your calls at 4:30 Pacific time. We'll open up the phone lines again to talk about this. Coming up next, Reese Ehrlich has a new book out about Iran. He'll talk with us, and we'll get some important questions answered from him. Then we'll return to this subject and take more of your phone calls. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, produced by Katrina Rill. Visit our website at peterbcollins.com.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th.
showcasing an array of books on local interests, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Mattel gave Made in China toys a bad name, but another Chinese product is tarnished.
A big recall of cribs. I'm Sam Litzinger.
A young woman risks her life with a fake bomb at the Boston airport.
Because she followed instructions, there's a quiet. She ended up in our cell and as opposed to the morgue.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Mattel, which has recalled more than 21 million toys manufactured in China, now says it was wrong to blame the Chinese for its problems. Executive Vice President Thomas Dabrowski said so in a public meeting in Beijing with the official in charge of product safety.
Mattel takes full responsibility for those recalls and apologizes personally to you, the Chinese people, and all of our customers.
Dabrowski said only a small percentage of the recalled toys had lead paint. He now blames most of the recalls on Mattel design flaws. The Chinese accepted the apology and said they hope Mattel learns from its mistakes. A major brand of infant products is recalling about 1 million cribs made in China. CBS's Sam Litzinger has that story.
Three deaths are being blamed on Simplicity and Graco cribs. Kim Dulick with the Consumer Product Safety Commission explains the problem.
The drop side can detach from the crib, which can create a dangerous gap. And the gap can lead to an entrapment hazard to young children, to young toddlers or infants. CPSC is warning parents and caregivers to check their Simplicity cribs right away.
Moms and dads can go to a website, simplicityforchildren.com, to get more information on the million crib recall. That's simplicityforchildren.com. Sam Litzinger, CBS News, Washington.
Now this.
So I'm driving through town in my Chevy, and I see this restaurant is bragging about its world's best burgers. I wonder if they knew another restaurant down the street had the exact same sign. That got me thinking about all the claims people make about being the best. I guess with burgers, it's no big deal. Mess up a burger, you get indigestion. Mess up the maintenance on a Chevy truck, and someone's walking. So when I need work done, I go back to my Chevy dealer, to the experts in the Goodrich service lane.
I can't stop thinking about it.
In my opinion, they're the best in the world. Just last week, I asked for an oil change, four-tire rotation, and a Goodrich multi-point vehicle inspection. For my Chevy, it's Goodrich and go. And as for that hamburger joint, don't believe them, because I make the best burgers in town.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Fall is a great time to Goodwrench and go for all your maintenance needs. See your local Chevy Goodwrench dealer today or log on to Goodwrench.com.
She's a student at MIT, but what 19-year-old Star Simpson did this morning wasn't very bright. Massachusetts State Police Major Scott Perret says she went to Boston's Logan Airport with a fake bomb strapped to her chest. Simpson was quickly surrounded by officers with submachine guns, but she put up no resistance.
Had she not followed the instructions, deadly force may have been used.
CBS News correspondent Bob Orr says Simpson was there to meet her boyfriend.
You know, when people go to airports to meet people, they often hold up signs with names on them, placards. She had a unique idea. She put this device on her chest, described as a circuit board with 5 to 6 ounces of Play-Doh, wires, and a battery with lights that actually blinked. She told police she was just trying to stand out in the crowd.
In that, she was successful. There was a shooting early this morning at Delaware State University in Dover. Two students were wounded, one seriously. Using lessons learned from the Virginia Tech massacre, notifications went out and the campus was quickly locked down. University President Alan Sessom says the shooting was the result of an argument, a very stupid thing.
This is a case of our own students making really poor choices and acting incredibly badly.
Police have identified two students as persons of interest. They're questioning one and looking for the other. A weather system that battered parts of Florida's Gulf Coast became a tropical depression today and continues to strengthen. Tropical storm warnings are posted from Apalachicola to the mouth of the Mississippi, including New Orleans. Mike Womack, Mississippi's Emergency Management Director, says they're bracing for a hurricane.
We always prepare for at least one category of storm higher. So we're doing evacuations and doing preparations as if this was a Category 1 storm.
Home run king Barry Bonds will not be wearing a San Francisco Giants uniform next year. On his website, Bonds says the team informed him yesterday that he won't be brought back for the 2008 season. Cuban television just aired a new interview with Fidel Castro. The 81-year-old Castro hasn't appeared in public since emergency surgery last summer. In this interview, said to have been recorded today, he appears healthy and alert. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba?
Uh-oh, got a split.
Oh, bye.
No, I got a split in half. You know, us amoebas always growing.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you while you're still growing.
Great, because here I go. Ah, much better.
Well, you can both visit AflacSP.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
When you have a family, it's always a good time to buy.
It's a great move-up market.
The interest rates are low.
Didn't make sense for us to spend the same amount of money renting something when we could own it.
Working with a realtor took all the guesswork out.
This is the best market in years in terms of choice.
Interest rates are at historic lows. Home choices have increased and prices are favorable. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
If we didn't buy now, we would have missed the opportunity on this home.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
And we do offer it by the slice. You can get podcasts, too. Check in at peterbcollins.com. It's 6 minutes after the hour. We got a lot more to talk about. We are beaming to you live from San Francisco. We're live in Sacramento today. Again, sitting in for the vacationing Christine Kraft on 1240 Talk City, KSAC. And later this hour, just past the bottom of the hour, we'll open up the phone lines again because lots of people wanted to talk about the Senate resolution, which is not explicitly against MoveOn.org, but you just have to understand the debate and the context, and you know what they're up to. And it's really struck a nerve, and certainly is being heavily exploited by the Bush administration right now. So we'll make room for your phone calls during the second half hour of this hour. Reese Ehrlich joins us. You may have heard him on National Public Radio. You may recall the book he wrote a few years ago with our friend Norman Solomon called Target Iraq, What the News Media Didn't Tell You. Reese Ehrlich has a new book called The Iran Agenda, The Real Story of U.S. Policy and the Middle East Crisis. Reese, welcome back to our program.
Well, thank you very much and good afternoon.
Well, nice to talk with you. And your book opens with the trip that you took to Tehran in the summer of 2005 with Norman Solomon and movie star Sean Penn. And, of course, Sean was a credentialed correspondent for the San Francisco Chronicle. He wrote a lengthy sequence of articles about that visit, and it got a lot of attention. And your book starts there, and you bring us a lot of valuable information. So, if you will, let me first ask you just for some background info on U.S.-Iranian relations, and then we'll get to the current situation and the muscular approach of the Bush administration to Tehran. First up, what is the nature of the desire for nuclear power in Iran? You offer a very interesting look back at the days when the Shah was ruling Iran and the U.S. was actively promoting development of nuclear power plants in Iraq. We even had signed contracts with, Westinghouse and General Electric.
That's right. Yeah, it's a piece of history that the
Bush administration and the U.S. in general would prefer to forget about, because, oh my God, how can we possibly have Iran with nuclear weapons and one of their, or nuclear power? One of their biggest arguments is that Iran has lots of gas and oil, and so what does it need nuclear power for? Well, way back 30 years ago, when it had even more natural gas and oil, the Shah was worried that it would eventually run out and that they would need an alternative source of energy, and he was promoting nuclear power. By the way, I'm not a big fan of nuclear power here or in Iran or anywhere else, but it's each country's right to decide if they want to use that or not. And so the U.S. actively promoted nuclear power in Iran. Why? Because they could make money selling these huge power facilities and reprocessing plants, etc.
And if, in fact, the Shah had aims to move up from nuclear processing for power plants to build nuclear weapons, the U.S. was okay with that. Henry Kissinger, of course, was Secretary of State at the time, and he thought that would be kind of hunky-dory, given that Iran shares a long border with the former Soviet Union.
Exactly, and on two or three different occasions, and I detail it in my book, the Shah publicly mused about wanting to get nuclear weapons, and there was zero reaction from the U.S., and interestingly enough, zero reaction from Israel, you know, who was another big player in this whole issue. As long as the Shah was pro-U.S. and an ally of Israel, it's fine if he wanted to possibly get nuclear weapons. You know, the U.S. is very happy to look the other way when India or Pakistan gets nuclear weapons, or when Israel got its nuclear weapons. So it's not that somehow the U.S. is against proliferation. It's against people, and Iran isn't even developing nuclear bombs. The IAEA has never said that the U.S., that Iran is actually developing a nuclear bomb. The U.S. has no proof that that's actually happening.
So everybody knows about the revolution that brought the Ayatollah back from Paris and into power, and the standoff there at the embassy with our hostages, the October surprise that led to their return surprise on Inauguration Day. And I'll never forget that split screen as Reagan's taking the oath of office and the plane is taking off from Tehran.
Yeah, because Reagan had cut a deal with the Ayatollahs to get the hostages released on his watch.
Well, and that back channel was maintained for the Iran-Contra affair just 6 years later.
Absolutely.
So moving forward into the 90s, we had a kind of waves of authoritarianism, and there's been a bit of softening. You describe how some of the attempts to rein in personal behavior and control dress and speech and whether people want to go to parties with members of the opposite sex, some of that has been relaxed, and that satellite dishes are a very hot item in Iran. They're technically banned, but people bribe or sneak them in. And you said you sat down and watched, and there's even porn on the satellite TV systems available in Iran.
Yeah, you got to pay extra for the porn.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I could at least, I don't want to say how much time I spent looking for it, but I couldn't find any that was free.
I see. But there are all kinds of communications and messages that are getting into Iran, and I note the $75 million, a pretty paltry sum, that the Bush administration asked for and got in the last 18 months to try to soften up, or actually to try to build support among the population for an overthrow of the so-called regime. If it's a government we don't like, they're a regime.
Right.
And so that's the constant language that comes out.
Right.
And
so,
there's a major...
The U.S. is offering this money, which nobody in Iran wants to take because it's tainted money. As it is, anybody who's fighting for democracy or workers' rights or women's rights is accused of being a U.S. agent. And by putting this money out there and trying to funnel it into Iran, the Bush administration is making the situation much worse. But that's the public end of it. The secret end of it is covert efforts for the U.S., and I've documented it in the book, where among the Kurds, among the Baluchis in the eastern part of the country, and among the Arab minority in the southern part of Iran, the U.S. is actively sponsoring groups to go in, blow up buildings, assassinate soldiers and police, kill civilians in an effort to destabilize the government and to promote separatism or at least fan up ethnic tensions.
Well, and one of those groups that you cite is the MEK, the Mujahideen al-Khalq, or al-Khalq. Yeah.
Khalq.
And this was a group that we labeled terrorist in Iraq.
And it still is terrorist. It's still on the official terrorist list.
But we've given them
and sending them into Iran, arming them and sending them into Iran.
And so we do have these, what do you call them? Are they freedom fighters? Are they mercenaries? Are they terrorists? What are they, these people who we have snuck into Iran?
It depends on whether you're neoconservative or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
By any objective account, the MEK, and there's also a group called the PKK up in the Kurdish area,
right,
northern Iraq. Not different groups, but similar MO. These are guerrilla groups who are opposed to the Iranian government.
Mm-hmm.
And they do not have much support among the population, but they are a trained armed force. And as we know, a trained armed force can cause a lot of damage if you're going in essentially carrying out terrorist attacks. You don't have to have popular support if you're blowing up civilian buildings and infrastructure and stuff like that. And the U.S. knows that, so they have paid and armed the MEK, who were allied with Saddam Hussein. They had their camps in the central Iraq, and they were, after the war, the U.S. allowed them to stay together, to stay in their camp, and they go and have chicken dinners with them and talk with them, and they've got supporters among right-wingers in Congress and others in the United States. So here's a group that's on the official State Department's terrorist list for terrorist activities that's being used by the United States to, it's okay to be a terrorist if you're attacking Iran. That's the message.
Yeah. And so, Reese Ehrlich, we have a situation that's a bit of a standoff and a stalemate right now. But the president has been in almost every speech, including some very tough comments about Iran with threats, some veiled, some unveiled. And we know that the vice president is really pushing hard for a military assault on Iran. And from the free press in Britain, we don't have quite that here, we get a stream of reports that there are 3,000 targets that have been identified. There's a plan for a shock-and-awe bombing campaign with missiles from naval vessels and a lot of aerial bombardment that would attempt to neutralize many of their facilities, including not just alleged nuclear facilities, but military installations and other key command and control systems in Iran. And it seems like a massive attack that is planned as a video game, because there is no real sense that there would be retaliation, repercussions, or a response from Iran in Lebanon, in Iraq, or in the United States of America.
Yeah. There's no question that those plans exist, that the U.S. is prepared to carry them out. Remember, this is an unprovoked attack on a nation that poses no immediate threat to the United States, and that's an act of war by anybody's name, and it's a very dangerous situation. It's not entirely clear that those plans are going to be implemented, or if so, when.
Mm-hmm.
But when you hear Bush and Cheney just before Labor Day declaring to the veterans of foreign wars, for example, that we face a nuclear holocaust from Iran, that's very inflammatory rhetoric, reminiscent of the kind of stuff we heard leading up to the invasion of Iraq.
Reese, I need to take a break. You know how it works. And when we return, I want to talk more about this. We'll take some phone calls at 888-5-PETER-B. And I have a homework assignment for our listeners here on Friday. Reese Ehrlich is going into the combat zone. He will be appearing on Hannity and Combs on the Fox News Channel tonight. And I want everybody to, get out your prayer beads or whatever you use. And let's root him on. Reese Ehrlich with us. The new book is called The Iran Agenda, The Real Story of U.S. Policy in the Middle East Crisis. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year, and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m., listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105, Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour. Reese Ehrlich is with us. His new book is called The Iran Agenda, The Real Story of U.S. Policy and the Middle East Crisis. Now, Reese, this is practice for your appearance on Fox News coming up in the next few hours. Ahmadinejad, he's a madman. He wants to destroy Israel. He wants to wipe them off the map. He questions the Holocaust. How can you support a guy like that, Reese?
That's what I have to say to you, Fox News.
A raspberry?
That's it. You got it. Okay. The U.S. is obviously over-exaggerating the threat from Iran. Iran has no nuclear weapons. Iran was so dangerous that it had to be immediately attacked. Why hasn't Iran attacked Israel or U.S. targets with conventional weapons? It hasn't because it has no intention of doing so. And to do so would invite immediate retaliation from the U.S. And Israel in an all-out war. So the people in Iran running the country are angry, but they're not crazy. And as for this thing about wiping Israel off the map, that's a,
a conscious mistranslation of a very old Iranian slogan that Ahmadinejad repeated. What he really said was that the Israel, or the entity in Jerusalem, should vanish from the pages of time. Now, that's quite a bit different than saying it should be wiped off the map.
They're never advocating attacking
Israel or killing Jews.
Reese Ehrlich, many people noted that earlier this year, the Supplemental Defense Appropriation Bill for the occupation of Iraq included language that explicitly required the administration, the president, to get congressional authority before any military assault on Iran, with a couple of exceptions, you know, some imminent provocation. And after the AIPAC conference, the American-Israeli Political Affairs Council met in April, that language disappeared.
Yes.
And many people argue that the policy that the U.S. is embracing toward Iran is really more Israel's interest than the United States' interest. How do you analyze that?
Well, I think there's a number of powerful lobbies and interest groups whose views are flowing together on this one. Certainly, Israel is a very strong advocate of war with Iran. Ironically, they sided with Iran in the 1980s when they thought Saddam Hussein was the bigger enemy, but now that he's out of the way, they're very much an advocate of bombing Iran and overthrowing the government there if possible. But so are the neoconservatives, Dick Cheney being the most well-known, but quite a cabal of neoconservatives, and even some Democrats. Joe Lieberman, for example, is a big advocate of bombing Iran. So you've brought together a number of different political trends, all of whom exaggerate the Iranian threat for their own reasons. But at the core of it, it has nothing to do with Iran presenting some kind of immediate threat, and everything to do with the U.S. wanting to come back into power in Iran, to control its oil, to control the military scene there, for all kinds of geopolitical reasons.
We're not planning to import democracy there, are we?
Oh, if you hear about it, of course we are. That's what the $75 million the Bush administration allocated was, to promote democracy. The same neoconservatives who said we would be welcomed with flowers and candy by the Iraqis are pushing that same line for Iran. Actually a very dangerous twist. Some of them are now openly advocating dismembering Iran by fanning up these ethnic tensions among Kurds and Baluchis and others in an effort to, because they know they can't, they have a very hard time getting rid of the regime in Tehran, as they phrase it, but they might be able to break away some of these people who have legitimate government, very legitimate grievances against how they've been treated.
Got a question here for you. Steve in Watsonville, you're on the air with Reese Ehrlich.
Thanks, Peter. Aaron Gabra, and I'd like to beg permission to come back later on the Move On ad. But
Your begging is granted, but please be quick now.
The Aga Khan was the British choice for ruler of Iran, being descended from Muhammad and all. Why didn't the U.S. choose the Aga Khan rather than the Shah when they installed a dictator in Iran?
In 1953? Because
exactly.
The Shah was already...
He was a CIA asset.
Yeah, I mean, he was there. He had his father had been Shah before him. He was very weakened. Ironically, of course, Iran had a democracy. Precisely the kind of thing the United States is claiming it favors. It had a parliamentary system, it had free and fair elections, it had civil society with a free press. Under the progressive democratic government of Mossadegh, Iran had all the things that you would, far more developed than in most third world countries, certainly at that time, or even today. And the problem was, of course, they democratically decided to take over first half of British oil and later all of it when that was refused. And the U.S. sided with the British and overthrew the democratic government to install a dictatorship.
What, it was about oil?
Ah,
holy cow. Reese Ehrlich, thanks for joining us. Let's talk again because this story is going to continue to have import.
Absolutely.
Your book is very timely, The Iran Agenda, The Real Story of U.S. Policy in the Middle East Crisis. Reese Ehrlich, we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good.
And good luck with Hannity. He called me a snot-nosed liberal because I'm one of the people who question General Petraeus.
Uh-huh.
We're going to take more of your calls about the Petraeus Move On ad. Call me now, 888-5-PETER-B. That's coming up next right here.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
the Senate finally takes a stand. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The Senate today blocked a bill that would force U.S. troops home from Iraq. It also this week blocked a measure giving the troops more time off between deployments and a measure cutting off funding. All fell well short of the necessary 60 votes. But on Thursday, the Senate did suck it up, voting 72 to 25 for a resolution that, quote, strongly condemns any effort to attack the honor and integrity of General Petraeus and all the members of the United States Armed Forces. Yes, a bipartisan, filibuster-proof, veto-proof majority of senators stood before the world to condemn the MoveOn.org newspaper ad for rhyming Petraeus with Betrayus, proving that this nation is not going to go soft on rhyming newspaper ads. We are going to stand up until these rhyming newspaper ads stand down. And to hammer that point home, Senator Barbara Boxer decided to go even further with her own resolution, not only condemning attacks on those who are serving honorably in the armed forces, but also including those who have served honorably in the armed forces, you know, veterans. So her resolution condemned not only the MoveOn.org ad, but ads like the 2004 ads that ridiculed a certain Massachusetts senator's Purple Hearts. Now that's drawing a line in the sand. And when the yeas and nays were finally called, her resolution didn't have a prayer. Not even close. You see, the Senate has nothing but the highest esteem for those who have served this country honorably, but let's not be ridiculous. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
This Saturday, 11 a.m., ETs Call Earth, your chance to communicate with extraterrestrials. Hosts Bob Oliver and Carol Austin will be in contact with galactic members of the M100 Starship and others who consent to communicate through channeling. During the second half, James Dean will share his thoughts and his vision for our youth. Hear what others from beyond have to share about our human experience and themselves on The Quantum Leap, 11 a.m. Saturdays, KRXA 540.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention, whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. And I remain your humble host, Peter B. Collins. 34 minutes after the hour. My lines are open for you right now. A lot of people didn't get to get on the air last hour to react to this Senate and House resolution, which implicitly condemns MoveOn.org for the General Petraeus ad. And a caller last hour said, you know, they didn't even mention MoveOn in the resolution. Now, I want to be really clear. I currently have the House resolution up on my screen. And it, let me pull up the resolution itself. The summary reads, reaffirming the commitment of the House of Representatives to respecting the independent and professional reputation of General David H. Petraeus and all members of the United States Armed Forces serving in good standing in the defense of the United States. And then there's the resolution, whereas, resolved that the House of Representatives recognizes the services of General Petraeus, distinction and honor. I'm condensing this. Number two, commits to judge the merits of the sworn testimony of General David Petraeus without prejudice or personal bias, including refraining from unwarranted personal attacks. Notice something in there? The sworn testimony of General David H. Petraeus. Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst, was at the House hearing that Ike Skelton chaired, actually co-chaired it with Tom Lantos. And if you remember, after the lengthy posturing and opening statements of the chairs of the two committees that held the hearing, General Petraeus' microphone didn't work. So there was an awkward pause as they sent for the technicians, and it took a little while to get it working. And during this quiet moment, Ray McGovern just kind of piped up and said, swear him in. They didn't swear General Petraeus in. His report was not sworn testimony, to my knowledge. And if anybody can prove me wrong, I want to know about it. Because I have seen no indication whatsoever that General Petraeus did testify under oath. He gave a report. He listened to a lot of lengthy questions from members, but I do not believe he was sworn in. Item 3 under the resolved portion of this resolution reads this way. The House of Representatives condemns in the strongest possible terms the personal attacks made by the advocacy group MoveOn.org, impugning the integrity and professionalism of General Petraeus. So we're currently digging for the Senate resolution right now. And we will see if that language is similar. I'm clicking on it, and it'll come up here in just a moment. But at least in the House version, this was an explicit condemnation of the free speech exercise by MoveOn.org. Okay, now I have the Senate resolution up in front of me. And if you'd like to find it, it was vote number 344 that took place on September 20th. At 12:36 in the afternoon. And it reads, statement of purpose to express the sense of the Senate that General Petraeus deserves the full support of the Senate and strongly condemn personal attacks on the honor and integrity of General Petraeus and all members of the U.S. Armed Forces. Now, that is the summary. Let me scroll down here. And Katrina says, good luck. So, at the moment, we are not able to find the full text of the resolution. Let's see, I got the vote. So I will not bore you as I try to find it here right now, but Katrina is actively looking for it, and as soon as we find the Senate version there, we will read it to you. If you have a comment and you didn't get through last hour, I invite you to call 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, from the perspective of MoveOn.org, the negative attention in the presidential news conference and the resolutions in the House and the Senate have had an incredible impact. After the resolutions passed, after the attack by the president, more than 12,000 people logged on to MoveOn.org and donated more than $500,000, more than they have raised any day this year. Now that is very interesting. Let's take your calls here, 888-573-8372 in Sacramento. Sandra, you're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Peter. Listen, you know, it's not MoveOn's fault that that general has that unfortunate name. Not to mention that in 2004, he left his professionalism on the battlefield when he wrote that op-ed supporting Bush's policy. I mean, what happened to the separation of civilian and military leadership? It's a bunch of load of crap.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your honesty. And, Sandra, consider this. The president sanctimoniously postures as if General Petraeus is this independent military guy who is just telling it like it is. The reason General Petraeus has the job he has is that Bush sacked his predecessor and put Petraeus in there because he knew Petraeus would support his policies.
No, but I don't like how these generals are put out. Didn't Truman fire MacArthur for this sort of behavior? You know, they're not supposed to be in the forefront. I mean, the whole situation is just ass backwards. And I'm really glad to see Move On getting money for their troubles. And I don't understand the Democrats. I don't know if the NSA is working, has worked overtime and has dossiers on these folks. But it don't make no sense.
You're right about that.
Okay,
I can't figure it out. Thank you, Sandra. Now to Josh and Salinas. Welcome, Josh. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. So good of you to bring up that topic about thank you, the speaker. That topic about the Move On ad, that's just shocking. When in the past has the United States Congress ever made a resolution trying to assuage someone's feelings after they got put down in the media? It seems to me that the right wing has made a long career of putting down every person left of a toe of the hun who dares to open their mouth.
Well, and you know, one of the guests I had on earlier, Chris Hayes, described this as a tactical mistake by Move On. And I will say that when I read the New York Times and I popped open the paper on the day that Petraeus was going to Capitol Hill and I looked at it and said, and of course it resonates with me because I agree with the sentiments of the ad. But I did have a fear that it was going to become a football. And it was amazing how quickly, and this shows you the political and messaging skills of the right. Because within 36 hours, Rudy Giuliani was throwing up a huge fit, and he was attacking Senator Clinton for her free speech in the Senate chambers, where she looked directly at General Petraeus. This was not, you know, some sneak attack through an ad in the New York Times. This was a direct statement from the senator, and I'm a critic of Hillary Clinton, but on this issue, I give her a lot of credit. She looked right at General Petraeus, and she said, in order to believe you, we have to actively suspend our disbelief. And that was turned into an attack by Giuliani. Very quickly, they threw up an ad that they didn't put on TV. They put it on the Internet. And, of course, compliant corporate media outlets played it as if Rudy had dropped $5 million, you know, to put it on primetime TV coast to coast. Then Giuliani attacked the New York Times, claiming that they had given a break to Move On. And this gets a little complicated, but if you buy one of these advocacy ads in the New York Times, you can pay like $100,000 and dictate exactly what day it's going to run, or you can pay less, and the Times then inserts it when they have room. Well, the Move On ad was $60,000, so they paid less, and that's called preemptible or, you know, that kind of thing. And the New York Times had space to run it on that Tuesday, and so they did. And Giuliani's people cried foul. Well, by Friday last week, Giuliani had purchased a full-page ad in the New York Times to attack Hillary and Move On. And I still don't know how much he paid and whether he bought a preemptible one or, you know, went the 100,000 route to make sure it got in the paper that day. And then this thing just started to spin. And we have this friendly reporter named Bill Salmon, S-A-M-M-O-N, not to be confused with a tasty fish. And he works for Fox News. He's had unprecedented access to George W. Bush. And he asked this softball question. I think it was a setup because it came right at the end of the news conference. And if you want to check my work, go ahead. I did a little Google search on Bill Salmon. And the first thing that came up is a right-wing publication called Front Page Mag. And there's an interview with Bill Salmon here that was conducted just this week. And he's asked, what do you make of General Petraeus' testimony and the left's reaction to it? And he gives an answer, and I read it a little bit earlier, but I'll just excerpt the final comment. Well played, Mr. President. Well played. Now, this guy allegedly is a journalist. And here on a right-wing website, he is commending the president for snookering the Democrats and the American people, extending the occupation, extending the killing, extending the waste of U.S. taxpayer money behind a failed policy.
So you've got a journalist acting like a PR agent and a president acting like a PR agent. Wouldn't it be nice if journalists acted like journalists and the president acted like he was a servant of the American people?
Oh, Josh, you're asking a lot.
I have to say that I'm really stunned. Having put in hour after hour making phone calls, getting a Democratic majority in Congress through MoveOn in November and October 2006,
mm-hmm.
after, from my point of view, I don't know if anyone else agrees with me, but I think MoveOn made the difference and gave the Democrats their majority. I would think they would have better manners than to go along with Republicans and smear Move On members.
Well, it really is shocking to me that our elected officials do not value free speech rights above bruised feelings and, you know, speech that might be a little bit too critical or a little bit too blunt. But, you know, that's how advertising works. That's how you get people's attention. Look at all the crap that's on TV where they you know, shock you with something or startle you with something in order to get your attention and get you to watch the whole commercial. Well, that's all they did. They used a headline that's a real grabber. And, again, I fully support Move On, their right to express this. I would only say that I recognize more in hindsight that this became a target that has been used by the opposition, and so net-net, it might not have been the best idea for Move On to do it. But
well,
I will.
People when John Kerry was being smeared by the Swift boat alleged veterans, where was their concern for the honor of U.S. military personnel at that point?
Well, sorry, you asked the really tough question, Josh. Thanks a lot for calling, okay?
Thanks, Peter. Bye-bye.
888-5 Peter B. We go to Emily in Santa Cruz. Hi, Emily.
Yes, I got a message on the Internet regarding Move On, how the funds were, you know, increasing, coming into them, and so many positive remarks. I think it was just the most ridiculous thing to bring it to attack Move On. It's right on point what they're saying. And isn't there something about free speech? Oh, another thing I wanted to mention, I sent letters to Farr, Pelosi, Boxer, and Feinstein saying that, you know, no more funds for this occupation, and that Bill Bush is in there, and he's going to, I said, he'll continue his killing until he can get the Iraqi parliament to agree to the sharing of the oil resources. It was 70% to U.S. companies.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're aware of that.
Oh, we sure are.
That's what that whole surge is all about, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And then just one more outrage, and that's Schwarzenegger. Here I'm reading that the largest prison expansion bill in California history was developed in a backroom deal that sailed through the legislature, bypassing hearings or any public discussion whatsoever, for $17 billion.
It was $7 billion.
It says here to the tune of $17 billion in my paper, what I'm looking at.
The number I recall was $7.8 billion. It was jammed through very quickly in
April. I'm looking at Legal Services for Prison with Children mm-hmm. Newsletter, Justice Journal. They say $17. That's in question, but any amount of money for more prisons is ridiculous.
Well, the other thing that Schwarzenegger did was he authorized the construction of a new death chamber at San Quentin Prison. And he didn't go to the legislature to get approval for the expenditure.
Right.
He pretended that he could do it under the legal limit of $299,000. You know, it's kind of like the Grand Slam breakfast at Denny's. And, you know, $299, well, I'm out of my mind, but I don't have to ask the legislature to pay for it.
Oh, my God.
I got to run to a break, Emily. Thanks for your call. Good to have you listening here on the Peter B. Collins Show. 888-5-PETER-B. If you'd like to join the conversation, and visit our website at peterbcollins.com. Send me an email.
business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show, every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., and I want to tell you about my experiences with Monterey Salinas Transit's Bus 55. I personally have taken the bus a couple of times to fly out of the San Jose Airport. What a great way to spend $8 and avoid the headaches of driving, parking, driving, and messing with the San Jose commute. Check out Bus 55 at www.mst.org. I know it works. Bus 55, Monterey to San Jose, runs three times a day. It works.
Well, hopefully this works. Talking about traffic now, and we are going to mention a problem being reported. Let's see. Carmel, southbound 1 at Carpenter Street, two-vehicle crash, blocking lanes, and CHP is on scene there handling that situation. Also want to take a look at, well, Santa Clara, south 101 between Great American Parkway and McKee, extremely slow traffic from 280 to Tully. Santa Cruz Mountains, no problems to report in either direction, which is always fantastic news. Let's talk about Salinas. West Market Street, expect delays on Market Street at the intersection of Salinas and Monterey Streets. New street closures and detours are in effect. This road work continues until early October. Detour is also in effect for trucks going southbound on Market. And this report is brought to you by Crystal Geyser Water, natural alpine spring water.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour. Next hour, Brad Friedman will join us from bradblog.com. We continue to fight the fight for honest elections in this country. And somebody who's fighting with us is the clerk who handles all the election systems in Santa Cruz County. Gail Pellerin joined us last week for a lively conversation and has agreed to return to work more on that. There are a lot of other issues related to elections that we'll talk about with Brad coming up next hour as well. In the meantime, you can call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. We're talking about this phony controversy over the move-on ad, the way Republicans have used this to divide Democrats, distract the American public, and make it seem like a newspaper ad is more important than the failed policy of the Bush administration and the tainted testimony, which was not delivered under oath, to my knowledge, by General Petraeus. And to try to build this bubble or halo around Petraeus at this time is really insulting. And what's more insulting is that 22 Democratic members of the Senate voted for the measure which implicitly condemns Move On for its legal expression of its viewpoint.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me. Just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue.
I've just been dying to play that for Norman Sue. He is the guy who donated over $800,000 to Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. Then we found out he was a fugitive. And then he decided to become a fugitive from being a fugitive. And now he is on his way, being returned from Colorado, where he took Amtrak to San Mateo County here near San Francisco, where first he will be sentenced for his fugitive status from a conviction in the early 1990s. And now there is a $60 million lawsuit claiming that Norman Sue, the boy named Sue, fleeced investors in order to make all these political contributions. A bizarre story, and one that doesn't reflect well on Democrats. And that's one reason we ought to be talking about it here. We don't protect Democrats when they go the wrong way. And I don't believe that the elected officials, from what I can tell, did anything wrong. They accepted the guy's money, and perhaps it's just another nail in that coffin that our campaign system is corrupt. It's a form of legalized bribery, and that's one reason Norman Sue was able to cozy up to so many important political figures. Don in Eureka, thanks for calling. You're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Greetings, Peter B. Hey, I have a question.
All right.
Can MoveOn.org put an ad on Fox News and thank Bill Salmon and Hannity for their fundraising efforts and how the coffers have been replenished and yada, yada, yada on that. And also, parallel to Norman Sue, has anybody ever talked about the money that goes out to people from HarperCollins and other of these right-wing publishers?
We have. As you're pointing out, HarperCollins is owned by Rupert Murdoch.
Right.
And he used it to grease Newt Gingrich for his book deal. And so, yes, that goes on a pretty regular basis.
So what's the difference between that and the shoe type of a deal?
Well, that's a very good question. Lawyers were involved to make sure the transaction was sanitized and wouldn't lead to an indictment. But I understand your point, and it's really bizarre just to see how these things occur and how the media plays them.
And there was one more thing before I go. O'Reilly and his little bumper sticker about the taser tot. Don't taser me, bro. I think that we ought to put out a bumper sticker that says, don't phone me, Bill. And I'm off, Peter. Thanks.
Okay, you got to stop watching O'Reilly, okay?
Oh, no, it's too funny.
Okay, we'll try Hannity and Combs tonight because our guest, Reese Ehrlich, is going to be on. See how well he does, okay?
He's been on a couple of different things here lately. He's very impressive.
Yeah, he's a very bright guy.
And they had the counterpoint thing on Hardball tonight with the two veterans, recent veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they lose that debate. The pro-war veterans lose that debate every single time they go on, but they keep on giving it their best effort.
Well, they got God on their side. Thank you, Don. Now to Steve in Watsonville. You're back. Go ahead, Steve.
Here, since I canceled my cable, you're my only source. Listen, it looks to me like the Fox push today is that anybody who wears a uniform, you can't say traitor to him. And I want to ask them people, you ever heard about Benedict Arnold? And then let's run down the line, you know, from Benedict Arnold. There's been, you know, kajillion traitors.
Well, you know, it's a difficult issue because I think that betrayal is different from a traitor. And I don't think anyone has accused General Petraeus of being a traitor. I do think that his credibility has been questioned, and it is well deserved. And so they are now, as a defensive tactic, attacking those who have questioned his credibility. And this is a common effort by the Republicans. We're on to it. Why are not our elected officials?
Peter,
that's what I can't grasp.
Was I, but you know, the oath of officer in the U.S. service is to the Constitution.
That's right.
Not to the Commander-in-Chief.
You've got it, Steve. Thank you very much. Thanks for all your calls and your passion on this subject. If you got some extra cash, why don't you send a little to MoveOn.org. Let them know that even if you think that some of their ads are over the top, you support their free speech rights. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
Our reputation has been damaged lately by these recalls.
And Mattel executive Thomas Dabrowski acknowledged in Beijing today that China's reputation was really trashed by his company's recall of more than 21 million toys. Turns out most of the problems can't be blamed on the Chinese.
The vast majority of those products that were recalled were the result of a design flaw in Mattel's design, not through a manufacturing flaw in China-run factories.
Mattel's apology was accepted by the Chinese official in charge of product safety. There is a new recall involving a Chinese-made product. CBS's Sam Litzinger has that.
Nancy Nord, the head of the Consumer Product Safety Commission, is putting out the word in a video. About 1 million Simplicity and Graco cribs are being recalled.
Tragically, three young children have died in these cribs. Parents and caregivers should check immediately to see if their crib is included in this recall.
In all three deaths, someone had installed the drop rail side of the crib upside down. Doing that creates a gap that children can slide into and suffocate. The cribs were sold nationwide under the Simplicity and Graco labels over the past 9 years. Those should go back to the stores. Sam Litzinger, CBS News, Washington.
In Gena, Louisiana.
Don't make a hole right here. Make a hole, y'all. Come on, go.
A crush of reporters and spectators outside the courthouse where Michael Bell, the teenager jailed for 9 months in the beating of a white classmate, was denied bail today. King Downing of the ACLU predicts more demonstrations like the one yesterday.
I think when the world finds out after all the people who came down here that he couldn't even be granted bail, that I have a feeling that people may feel that they may need to come back here again and make sure that it gets heard loud and clear.
At Delaware State University, police now say they've tracked down both persons of interest in the early morning shooting that left two students wounded, one seriously. Questioning is underway. Sunday morning, fire raced through a duplex in Greenville, Ohio, killing two women and three children. Now, Police Sergeant Scott Ross says they have a suspect.
A 10-year-old male that resided in the residence has made statements implicating his involvement in the incident. The male juvenile has been charged with one count of aggravated arson and 5 counts of murder by the Dark County Prosecutor's Office into the Dark County Juvenile Court.
Ross says the boy confessed to setting the fire but said he didn't intend to kill anyone. Britney Spears back in the news, and again, not in a good way. She's been charged in Los Angeles with hit-and-run driving without a valid license, stemming from a parking lot crash last month. Conviction could mean 6 months in jail on each count. Actor George Clooney was injured today in a New Jersey traffic accident. A spokesman says a car collided with the motorcycle Clooney was riding. He was treated at a hospital for a broken rib and released. His passenger, Sarah Larson, suffered a broken foot. On Wall Street, the Dow up 53 points to finish the week at 13,820. This is CBS News.
Welcome to Lardo's. Can I take your order?
Yeah, 2 love handles and a double chin, too. Baby, what you want?
Can I get a booty do?
Well, if only 39 cents more, you can get our signature big honkin' booty do.
What are you really getting in your combo meal? Instead of greasy fast food, try the new Subway Fresh Fit meal that fits into the American Heart Association's approach to a healthy lifestyle. Now with more tasty choices like new hearty wheat bread that's a good source of fiber and low-fat Dannon yogurt. Subway, eat fresh.
Subway Fresh Fit meals are not a diet program.
Got a question. What's the worst thing about buying a used car? Could it be the uncertainty of not knowing what you're really getting? Bingo! Now I have an answer. Honda Certified Used Cars. Their well-maintained late-model Hondas each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with an incredible 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Did the comfort level just go up in here? Thought so. Honda Certified Used Cars. It's the next best thing to new. See dealer for limited warranty details.
American Idol gave us William Hung, the singer famous for being terrible. Now, as CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan reports, YouTube has provided a forum for another dubious celebrity.
Only in America.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now!
The Tennessee teenager whose YouTube video rant defending Britney Spears after her MTV performance disaster may be getting his own reality show. Variety reports Chris Crocker has signed with a production company. The video has drawn more than 8 million hits and countless takeoffs on YouTube and by late-night comedians. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Fortunately for Billy Townsend, the law had teeth, even if he didn't. The 56-year-old Indiana man owed money to 62-year-old Robert Henry Stahl, but when he went to a bar to pay up, Townsend says Stahl asked him outside where he started punching him, then got him in a headlock and grabbed Townsend's false teeth, saying, "You ain't getting these back." Police charged Stahl with felony robbery and battery. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
So I'm driving through town in my Chevy, and I see this restaurant is bragging about its world's best burgers. I wonder if they knew another restaurant down the street had the exact same sign. That got me thinking about all the claims people make about being the best. I guess with burgers, it's no big deal. Mess up a burger, you get indigestion. Mess up the maintenance on a Chevy truck, and someone's walking. So when I need work done, I go back to my Chevy dealer, to the experts in the Goodrich service lane.
I can't stop thinking about it.
In my opinion, they're the best in the world. Just last week, I asked for an oil change, four-tire rotation, and a Goodrich multi-point vehicle inspection. For my Chevy, it's Goodrich and go. And as for that hamburger joint, don't believe them, because I make the best burgers in town.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Fall is a great time to Goodrich and go for all your maintenance needs. See your local Chevy Goodrich dealer today or log on to Goodrich.com.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Six minutes after the hour as we continue on today's Peter B. Collins Show. And every week about this time, we spend an hour talking about the election processes in this country. Our go-to guy is Brad Friedman. He's the proprietor of BradBlog.com, a citizen journalist who, I don't know how he got into this, and he wonders if he'll ever get out of it. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Peter. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine today. And you?
I'm doing okay. You're right. I wonder if I'll ever get out. But, you know, got to do what you got to do.
Yes, you do.
Only democracy at stake. That's all.
And last week at this time, we were joined by Gail Pellerin, the Santa Cruz County Clerk, who handles all the election issues in Santa Cruz County. We had a lively discussion, some back and forth, followed up by email exchanges between Brad and Gail Pellerin this week. And to her credit, she has agreed to return. Gail, welcome back to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me. Well, yeah, the election business certainly does get in your blood.
Yes, it does. Tell us a little bit just about how you transitioned. You told us last week that you had worked in Sacramento in the Speaker's office. And what was it that caused you to want to run for county clerk and take on these layers of regulation, the complicated issues? It's certainly gotten more complicated since you took office, 10 or 12 years ago?
Well, a couple things. I moved here in 1992 because I married a man here in Santa Cruz County, and this is where we decided to make our home and raise our family. So I left Sacramento, and I looked for work here. And at the time, I think it was Assemblymember Fred Keeley's aide called and said, "Hey, there's this elections manager position open. You'd be perfect for it." I applied. So I started working here in 1993 in that capacity, and then my boss retired in 2004, and then they appointed me to the county clerk position And then I ran for that position in 2006 and was elected unopposed.
I see. And do you think you'll do this for the rest of your life? Are you a committed election professional now?
You know, it does get in your blood. It's something I think about all the time. And, you know, I've also learned a lot about accessibility issues as far as maintaining and having accessible polling sites. And I can't go shopping into the mall or go to a hotel anymore without seeing violations of ADA and Title 24 that I want to point out to the owners. I learn something new every day, and that's what's so intriguing about this work. And it's important. It's a very important job. I feel very passionate about it.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, we had a great discussion last week. We identified some issues that we agree on and a few that we might have differences on. And, again, I just want to commend you, Gail, because I think it's very important to openly discuss these matters and to have transparency as much as possible. One of the reasons that people are suspicious about the integrity of our elections is that in many jurisdictions we have some pretty high-handed election officials. And there are some who have not been forthcoming and transparent. And I'll pick a real safe example, like Ken Blackwell in Ohio.
Okay.
And so there are many people who really want to see the process be as clean and transparent as possible. And that's where I think the struggle is underway right now.
And I agree with you 100%. I mean, whenever we get phone calls or questions, we invite people to come in, and we take time to give them a tour, go over our policies and procedures, see our security in place. And I think some of them feel better after that. Some of them give us some great suggestions, which we're able to implement. And many we recruit as poll workers. So, you know, that's our strategy, and I believe it's very important to make sure all of our processes and procedures are open to the public. They can come down anytime.
Okay. Brad, you want to pick up there and go ahead and let's have a conversation?
Well, yeah, I will, actually. And I also want to thank Gail for coming back and facing the fire, so to speak.
You got your cell phone now.
Yes, you do. Call it anytime. I've been talking to a lot of county officials lately. So, and I concur, we've got to come together. It's not this wedge that's been driven between the election integrity activists and the elections officials. I think is unfortunate. I think it's a byproduct of a very specific campaign, frankly, by the election, by the voting machine companies. But last week I was accused of asking some loaded questions when I don't think I had. So I'll go ahead and ask a loaded question now.
Did I accuse you of that?
You did, actually.
I said it was a loaded question? I'm sorry.
You said that to me, and then I asked Brad to ask the next loaded question.
Okay. All right. Well, shoot.
And I failed to, so let me load one up now.
Okay.
You mentioned just now that you can't go to the mall without seeing a violation of the ADA. I'm going to suggest you can't go to work without seeing a violation of the ADA at this point. The American with Disabilities Act, since Deborah Bowen has found the very machines that you guys use out there. You're certainly not alone, and it's certainly not your fault, but the touchscreen Sequoia DRE machines that you use are found to be in violation of that ADA.
You know what? We had actually noticed that the leg configuration did not meet ADA, so we have special legs that were developed for our touchscreens that do meet ADA, and we had our access compliance specialists try out the machine and test the machine. I don't want to say it's perfect. There's certainly no perfect election system out there, but I believe that we came very close to making it as accessible as possible.
Well, I congratulate you on that, and I'll go ahead and jump then to the next step where we sort of left off a couple of points last week. Concerning the sleepovers, and we've had some news since last week that Deborah Bowen has said she previously said that these voting machine sleepovers, where they send the machines home with poll workers for days and weeks prior to the election, although I understand you guys only do it, you only have a one-night stand.
You're quoting someone there.
That's what I hear. And with that said, she has come out previously. She said she felt that sleepovers were illegal, and she answered a question I asked her quite directly the other day by saying that sleepovers do not comply with the new security requirements. And so I guess the question is, well, now what? And what
right.
is what's the plan? What's your outlook for dealing with that pretty clear statement from her?
Right. And, you know, and I think that it's great that we're talking about this on radio and with listeners listening in and hearing what the answers are. But I found, I also followed up with Secretary of State Bowen and said, okay, so make it real clear to me, what am I supposed to do and how do I deploy this equipment? And she seemed to indicate that we do need to find a practical mechanism to securely deploy election equipment. And she did not completely rule out the possibility that with more stringent security requirement on the touchscreen to have some kind of tamper-evident bag, and then to set up some security procedures for a poll worker to have in their household, that she's open to this discussion. And so with that, we sort of took it another step and said, you know, there's many issues that we need clarified on the conditions and that we really needed to have a face-to-face meeting. And I'm happy to report that election officials are on board, Secretary of State's office is on board, and those meetings will take place, and we're going to get some really good, helpful, concrete information so we can put together some workable procedures to meet all these conditions.
Also, very good news. I'm glad to hear that. Things seem to be moving in the right direction. I'll mention that you and I had spoken via email where I suggested a couple of possible solutions, which would be to encourage Secretary of State Bowen to take a fresh look at some of the paper-based systems for disability voters out there, like EqualiVote and VotePad and so forth, since her predecessor, Bruce McPherson, had really torpedoed them. That's one area that I hope you'll encourage her to look at when she when you meet with her. Another one I might suggest, by the way, is that she has put the onus on the voting machine companies to pay for the various new procedures that will have to be done to make up for their crappy voting machines. One of them might then be that they pay for shipping these things every morning to the polling places. That's certainly one place where I think they could cough up some dough. And similarly, I saw you commented in an editorial somewhere. I can't recall where it was now.
Are you Googling me?
Well, you know I will, Gail. But you had mentioned that it will take several weeks to count the ballots or to do the auditing. I can't recall if it was to do the auditing or to count the 100% paper trails that you're now required to do. I would add that the voting machines companies, you know, are charged with having to pay for this stuff.
Right.
And there's no reason you can't hire a few more counting groups to do this counting faster, as far as I can tell.
I have no doubt we can meet any state, federal requirement given the time, the people, and the money. And we're happy to do so. I mean, that is exactly what we want to be able to do. And I was just figuring that it took us, because we did a 10% manual count on our touchscreens. And we do have a system, I want to remind voters, in Santa Cruz County, the model that we implemented is the model the Secretary of State endorsed, which is primarily paper at the polls with the one touchscreen unit. But we went ahead and did 100% of our check in June because we just had a partial deployment of the touchscreens. But when we had full deployment in November, we did a 10% random manual recount of the touchscreens, and with these conditions, we'll be doing 100%. And it took us about 3 days to do 10% with 2 four-person boards, and we had some observers coming in and watching us, and they felt very confident in the procedure we set up on how we did that, and we'll do it again, and we'll just multiply it, you know, and make it happen.
I noticed in the it looks like it was the GT Weekly. You said that the mandate to count 100%. Will adversely impact our ability to certify the election within 28 days, so the law must be changed to allow counties sufficient time to count the 100% audit. Why would you need to change the law? Why would you not be able to count it within 28 days when, particularly since Sequoia is supposed to pay for this?
Well, it may seem simple enough to do a manual count, but I'll tell you, you give me 12 people to do a manual count, and I'll find 3, maybe 5 who are really good at it. It's very tedious, detailed work.
Well, we will get out.
And so, and we also don't have a very large facility here, so we're dealing with space and people and supervision. I don't have a lot of full-time staff to supervise. And the canvas is a lot more than just the touchscreen. We also do, you know, a complete audit of the polling sites, you know, so we account for every single piece of paper that was sent out to that polling site, and the, you know, as far as ballots are concerned, whether they've been if they've got 500 ballots checked out to them and 250 voters, we account for 250 unused ballots and 250 voted ballots, and then we check and we recheck the ballots. We run them through the machines once, we run them through twice, we double check. We make ballots. We have overseas ballots. We do a 1% manual random audit at the paper, and that's going to be increased as well with these conditions. So when I look at the conditions and I look at my facility and I know the people I have, it's going to take me longer than 28 days.
We're going to take a break and return with Gail Pellerin, County Clerk in Santa Cruz County, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. You got a question or a comment? We've got room for it. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's 19 after the hour on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Follow the race for the championship of the Monterey Bay, Tri-County, and Mission Trail High School Athletic League. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
North Salinas travels out of the lettuce fields of the valley over to the ocean shores at Seaside to play game number 3. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
Howdy, everybody. TGIF. Let's take a look at the latest. And we're going to start off with a problem. It was reported, let's see, on Highway 17. All the details right here. It's, southbound 280 before Highway 17. Injury crash. Paramedics, fire department on scene. Three vehicles to be involved in this accident. Then we're going to look at Carmel, southbound 1 at Carpenter Street. We have a two-vehicle crash. It has been cleared to the right shoulder. CHP is on the scene handling that particular one. Prunedale Mar Road at Royal Oak Place. We have an accident there. It's a solo car that went through a fence and landed into a ditch. Possible injuries being reported. CHP also on the way to the scene there. Santa Clara County, 152 at 156. A big rig and a car partially blocking the left turn lane involved in an accident there. And this report is brought to you by Purell Hand Sanitizer with Aloe.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with us about election issues. 888-5-PETER-B. That's our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. Again, today we're live in Sacramento, filling in for Christine Kraft on 1240 Talk City, KSAC. And, of course, this breaks one of the big rules in radio, but I've never been indicted and nobody can punish me. But Christine will be moonlighting tonight. Late night on KGO Radio in San Francisco, and Brad Friedman is going to guest with her at the drive time hour of 2 a.m.
2 a.m. to 3 a.m., but don't tell the rabbi.
Oh, that's right. You'll have to atone for that later, Brad.
I will indeed.
Are you fasting, too?
Well, it depends if you're going to tell the rabbi.
Okay, I will.
We're talking with Gail Pellerin and Brad offline during the break. Gail agreed to stay with us through the hour if necessary. We had it scheduled for a half an hour, but clearly we've got a lot to talk about. And one of the things I'd like to raise, Gail, in the preceding segment, you talked about the challenge of hand counting paper ballots and meeting the current statutory deadline to certify an election of 28 days. That's an important issue. The other thing that occurs to me, we have had a lot of controversy in the San Francisco Chronicle this week because the San Francisco election chief is basically saying that he's caught between Deborah Bowen and a separate voting machine than the one you work with. His is ES&S. But he's saying it's going to take 3 weeks to count the ballots. And when I hear that, I say, well, so what? I believe that we should take as long as necessary to get a real accurate count of an election. And we've seen, even with contentious contested elections like presidential races over the last few years, and in particular 2000, that we can wait. And the society, the democracy, does not crumble because we don't have the results on television the night of the election. What's your sense of the demands on accurate information in a timely manner?
Sure. I ask people, do you want it done fast or do you want it done accurately? And I want it done accurately, so I take time. And I think what's happening in the San Francisco case, and again, I told you earlier, I can really speak about Santa Cruz County. It's difficult to speak about other counties, but they are actually not even going to have their full results in their polling sites because they're going to have to run them through machines. That's what I read in the paper, and that they're going to be updating daily. In our county, we certainly do produce the election night results with the early absentees come in first, followed by the polls, and we stay here till, you know, whatever it takes, you know, 1, 2, 3 in the morning to get that completed. And then we're back the next morning starting our canvas. And the canvas is the audit. And that is really where everything gets figured out, everything gets reconciled, every piece of paper gets audited. All the supplies that came back from the polling site, we break those down. We make sure we've accounted for every absentee ballot that may have been turned in at the polls. All those provisional ballots. So California was the leader in provisional voting, whereas if a voter cannot be, their eligibility cannot be determined when they come into that precinct on election day because their name's not on their index, they can still vote provisionally, and it goes in a pink envelope, and then that's given extra care, time, consideration, research to make sure that that voter is eligible before we can count it. And so all the canvas procedure is quite comprehensive. And it's very detailed work, and it's very time-consuming. And we take our time. We don't rush it. I don't do updates in this county because I think it just adds to the drama, you know, of every day of, you know, or every week, the vote results changing back and forth. And so
Right. We
go through and we, you know, make sure all of our I's are dotted and T's crossed and inspect and validate and research everything before we then count all the ballots. And it's my job then to certify that election as the county clerk that I need to sign the statement of the result and declare that the final results are full, true, and correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to do that unless I believe that's the case.
And just about 30 seconds before our next break, then we'll have a lot of time to talk. The 28-day issue, do you need a longer period of time before you actually certify?
Well, you know, we were up against it this last time in November 06. We were right at almost the day before, I think, that time to certify because of the new requirement. I mean, because of the requirements we had on ourselves, you know. Mm-hmm. We also had a lot more absentees turned in late, a lot more provisional voting, and then we did the 10% audit. So I see with these changes, now again, I've never done an election with all these conditions and requirements, but but looking at it, I'm thinking it's going to take me more time.
All right, we'll continue with Gail Pellerin and Brad Friedman. Your calls are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters in Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future, and we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Want more energy and protection from disease? U.S. Wellness Meats have an ideal omega-3 to 6 ratio, are 2 to 4 times more plentiful in vitamins A and E than grain-fed beef, have one-third fewer calories, and can slow or even halt diabetes. We have been featured for our exceptional taste in Food & Wine magazine and in the New York Times. We are meat that matters to your health, enjoyment, and to our ecology. U.S. Wellness Meats, 1-877-383-0051 or online at www.uswellnessmeats.com. That's 1-877-383-0051.
Live.
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Thirty-three after the hour, we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for dialing us up or clicking our way. We continue with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, talking about election issues. And with us, the clerk of Santa Cruz County, California, Gail Pellerin. Got a couple of callers on the line. Stay there. We'll get to you here shortly. Brad, you're up next.
All right. Well, I ran out of time last time, so I'll try to fly through a bunch of quick questions.
Oh, we got 15 minutes till the next break or something like that.
Okay, good. Well, then let me start out with, just to close the loop on the last discussion there, concerning the time that it takes to meet the new requirements and the hand counting that must be done and so forth, both in Santa Cruz and in San Francisco. I've heard folks complain about these new requirements, and I just want to underscore, it seemed pretty clear to me from the Secretary's new requirements that the onus really is on the voting machine companies to pay for this extra effort. And if you've had two crews, Gail, out there in Santa Cruz to count in the past, and now you need to count more ballots, well, there's, as you know, some great election integrity folks out there in Santa Cruz that I'm sure will help you come up with more teams and, if needed, a larger facility to do the counting in. And as far as I can tell, it's the voting machine companies, in this case Sequoia, up in San Francisco, it'd be ES&S, but those are the folks who need to cover the extra costs for this. And I'm wondering, are you willing to hold Sequoia accountable to cough up the money so that you guys can come in? I'm not in any rush either for the results. I'd rather have them be accurate, but obviously they need to come in before the 28-day time limit for final certification.
I think moving to another facility, too, we'd have to look at the security issues there as well, and, you know, whether we run single shifts or double shifts. Every single year we desperately seek poll workers, and I want to put a call out to people listening that if you are available any of the days in 2008, February 5th, June 3rd, November 4th, we need you. We need you out there helping out in the polls. And then on the back end, when we're doing the canvas, you know, it does require a level of training and expertise and security and supervision, and we'll look at whatever we can do. I mean, it is certainly my goal to meet that certification deadline of 28 days, and we work extra hours, we work weekends, we do what we can, but, you know, looking at these procedures and these conditions, I see it taking more time.
Well, Sequoia,
and I see in those conditions that I'm to bill the vendor for the audit procedures, and sure, I'll bill the vendor. But that doesn't solve my immediate situation of having to pay the staff people. And, if I'm hiring folks, I can't say, well, you'll get paid when Sequoia pays me. You know, so initially everything comes out of the county's coffers first.
Now, let me jump in here because I'm curious what the legal basis is. I certainly have no problem billing the vendors, the voting machine companies, for these unexpected costs. But what's the legal basis for forcing them to do so?
Well, according to the Secretary of State, they misrepresented their product. Sequoia was particularly bad about this and, made certain promises that their equipment does this or that, and apparently they just out and out lied. So she's holding the companies responsible for the extra measures that the counties now have to go through in order to carry out an election. And I think that's appropriate, and I think it's about time someone held these companies accountable for the bind that they have put the officials in. Bowen didn't do it. It was the companies. And somebody needs to hold these guys accountable.
And, Gail, do you have any confidence that Sequoia will cut you a check for the overruns, the unbudgeted costs?
Certainly in the past when printing errors have been made that were no fault of ours, Sequoia has paid for those, reimbursed the county. I think it's an honorable company that we've had years of experience working with. They have been also working with the Secretary of State's office and meeting all the requirements set up in the conditions. They were the first company that I believe gave the source code and the equipment and everything to get going with the top-to-bottom review. They're on board. They have not abandoned California.
Gail?
And certainly that could be an option, but at this point, you know, they have not. Neither has Hart or Diebold. They're all complying, and you know, I think the main thing is we need to move forward together. This is something that all the parties involved need to work on. I'm not here to bash the vendors or bash other county elections offices or bash Secretary of State's office. I mean, we are a team that needs to work together to make sure that we have successful elections in California.
Gail, did that did company representatives, when you bought that equipment, tell you that their voting systems were secure?
There's information in the contract as far as security. You know, I certainly think that they themselves have come forward with a new generation of software and equipment that's going through federal qualification. I mean, the bottom line is there's lots of changes in election. There's nothing permanent in any election.
Let me
there's no perfect election. And I think after each and every election we conduct, we get information from our voters, our poll workers, our staff, certainly now with Secretary of State Bowen's information she's found with the top-to-bottom review, the Brennan Center report, the Elections Assistance Commission, UC Berkeley's Election Administration Research Center. We're learning things every day.
That's right, but
we want to improve it. We want to make it better.
But let me ask, did they represent to you that these voting systems were secure?
You know, I'd have to go back and look at exactly what verbiage is in their contract.
There is no organization
or group that says that this system was HAVA compliant. There was no stamp of HAVA compliance. You know, this was, you know, unfortunately, in the very beginning with the HAVA rule that came down in 2002, the federal mandate, we were stunned that there was such a short time period for implementation. I argued all along, we need to extend HAVA. This is not sufficient time. To implement these far-reaching changes in elections. Elections are very fragile.
If you want me to argue in favor of...
It's very difficult to make sweeping changes, you know, without a lot of time. When we moved from a hand count system in the 60s to an electronic machine count, California did it over 16 years.
Gail, if you want me to argue in favor of HAVA, I'm certainly not going to do that, but I'm asking these questions for a specific reason. Did they tell you that their systems complied with the 2002 voting system standards?
Well, you know, again, I really, conversations I've had with the vendor and information in our contract, you're welcome to read the contract. It's on our website.
Well, let me put it that way.
And they are continually trying to improve their product.
If the contracts told you that these systems were secure, and if the contract said that they were in, met the 2002 federal voting system standards, then they lied. And when you say they're an honorable company, I have found them to be anything but. And like I say, the companies have caused the bulk of the problem here.
Yeah.
And I don't want to argue with that.
I mean, there are individuals in Sequoia that have been true to their word. When mistakes have occurred and it was their fault, they took the blame, they paid the bill.
I'm sure there but I would recommend...
I misspoke by saying an honorable company, but the people I work with in Sequoia have been true to their word and honest.
Certainly working in contract negotiations,
there were some very unpleasant moments. Did I want to buy a new voting system back in 2005? No. I really liked the voting system we had, but I felt that the federal mandate required us to move forward with a system that provided second-chance voting at the polls, accessible and verifiable voting for persons with disabilities, and I felt that was where we had to move. We had to move forward with this new voting system.
And I understand that, and I'm not questioning your judgment in doing that. I'm questioning, and nor am I questioning the people that you feel are very nice people that might work at Sequoia, but the company has misrepresented their product, the reason that this country...
And I think that's just an issue between us and my county council in Sequoia. I'm not an attorney, and I'm not going to debate those on the radio.
No, and I understand that, but I'm trying to point out to you that you hold more information than anybody else about what the Sequoia representatives told you when they sold you this product at considerable taxpayer expense. And the fact that we're in trouble now, the fact that we're talking about not even being able to get things counted by the final certification deadline, I put squarely at the feet of Sequoia in this case, and I believe there's more than enough evidence to hold them accountable legally, and someone in America has got to begin doing that, because the counties are paying more and more money for this stuff. And I'm wondering if that's what led you, and I'll give you a graceful out here, hopefully, but I'm wondering if that's what led you.
Is that because we're on the eve of Yom Kippur?
That's right, so I hope you'll forgive me.
Okay.
But I want to mention that, give you the opportunity now, if you would like. You mentioned at the Secretary of State Bowen's public hearing on her top-to-bottom review, and I'm quoting directly, you said, "I can guarantee that every eligible vote is counted accurately."
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you can't guarantee that, and I'm wondering if you would like to take this opportunity to retract that statement.
Well, I mean, as we chatted on email, I understand how guaranteeing something like is, you can't guarantee anything. We can't guarantee our cars are safe or that, you know, the sun will come out tomorrow. But the reality is, at the end of the day, it is my job to count votes. And I believe the systems and processes we have in place are extremely well done. We have a great crew of people. We have a good audit procedure, both on the paper side and the electronic side. These conditions that we're going to be implementing will even further provide more verifiable accuracy that this system is counting the votes accurately. And I have to sign at the end of the day. I need to sign a statement of vote certifying that the results are full, true, and correct.
Yeah, and so can you promise that anybody, any voter, any single vote that is voted on a DRE touchscreen voting machine is counted accurately?
I just want to encourage voters to look at that voter-verified paper audit trail, because we're going to be counting off of that. So if that is your vote on that printed record, that's what we're counting off of.
Well, I think
I believe that if the voter says, "That's my vote," we're going to count it the way it's written on that voter-verified paper audit trail.
Well, and, you know, I believe last week that we discussed how the paper trails can be counted 100% and still be gamed. And if we didn't, I'll be happy to talk to you about that offline.
But, you know, and, Brett, I invite you. You know, I asked you to be a poll worker. I know you're busy that day. But why don't you just take a trip down to Santa Cruz? Come on down. I'll buy you lunch. I'll show you what we've got. And I want to hear your ideas. You know, it's one thing to say, This doesn't work, but show me how it can work then, or give me good concrete suggestions on how to improve.
And
I will add people to see how we do it. You got a better idea? Let me hear it.
I'll buy you both an ice cream at Mary Ann's.
Isn't that the best?
One of my favorite places in Santa Cruz. Let's take some phone calls. Connie in Monterey, thanks for holding. You're on the air with Brad Friedman and Gail Pellerin.
I'm so honored to talk to you, Peter. I've never talked to you before. Just recently have I found KRXA. I learned more from you than I do from listening to public radio for 20 years.
Wow, that's very kind. I appreciate it. Connie, get to your question, please.
What I want to know is, I used to be able to vote in secret when I went down here to my place in Seaside. We used to have little curtains and all that. Now, when I go in there to vote, everybody can see what I do. And I thought that we were guaranteed in the Constitution a secret vote.
All right. Now, we have a secret ballot. Gail, do the state election laws require that you vote in secret? In other words, does there have to be a curtain behind you?
Well, no, it doesn't set up that. And it's really how you instruct your poll workers to set up your polling site. Certainly now, I can tell you what happens in our county. We have voting booths that have side panels, and people go into that voting booth and put the paper on the table and vote their ballot. If it's a touch screen, then we'll position it so they are comfortable that they're voting in secret. If the machine needs to be turned around, we'll turn it around and do whatever the voter feels comfortable with. But none of them do come with screens. I know, in fact, I don't think I've seen those in California in a long time.
But my husband and I looked it up. It says secret.
Right. Voting a secret ballot is your constitutional right, and we believe the way we set up our polling site grants that and provides that. We provide secrecy sleeves for the ballot, so once it's voted and you're transporting it back to be counted, that it's in a secrecy sleeve that nobody can see how you vote. So I think you need to talk to to Linda Tillett in Monterey and share with her concerns and let her know, and then she'll make it better for you, because she's committed to this as well.
Well, it's up on that screen. Everybody can see it.
I think it's a matter of positioning the machine so it would be private.
And
I think, Connie,
there's
a way to fix that, and I encourage you to call your local registrar with that concern.
Connie, the next time you vote, you will have a choice. You do not have to use a touchscreen voting machine, and if you choose not to, you should be able to operate your or mark your ballot in a manner that couldn't be observed by other people.
And just ask for paper, huh?
Yeah, thanks.
And Connie, let me also add, anybody who does have to vote on touchscreens, Sequoia touchscreens, you might want to come by bradblog.com. Do a search for the word yellow button, and you'll find out why there are no curtains around those Sequoia touchscreen voting machines.
All right, we got to run to a break. Connie, thanks for your love and the Valentine. We'll continue in a moment with Brad Friedman and Gail Pellerin. Got room for another call or two. 888-5 Peter B is our number. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year, and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com. SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. SoberStones.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday, the last traffic report of the night. And let's get you caught up to date. I'm going to mention a problem in Watsonville on Highway 129 at Carlton Road. A minor injury crash being reported there. And what I can tell you is that everything appears to be on the... looks like two vehicles on the shoulder. One vehicle hit a power pole. If you're traveling in the Prunedale area in San Miguel Canyon Road at Castroville Boulevard, we have a fender bender on the shoulder there. Two cars being reported. Eastbound 25 slows out of Gilroy into Hollister. Eastbound 129 slow between Watsonville and Aromas. And we're getting word of some slow-and-go traffic between, looks like southbound 1, right between Monterey and Carmel. You'll see pockets of slow traffic in that area as you make your way to that wherever you're going. Anyways, this report brought to you by Crystal Geyser Natural Alpine Spring Water.
Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're talking about election process and election integrity with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com and Gail Pellerin, the Santa Cruz County Clerk and in charge of elections in Santa Cruz County, California. Got a loaded switchboard. We won't have time for all your calls, but let's squeeze in at least one more. Marianne in Monterey, thanks for your call. You're on the air.
Hi, and thank you, Peter and Brad, for what you're doing. Gail, you need to listen to these men. I was upset last week when you were on, and I'm upset again today. You do not listen to what they're asking you. Our vote, these men are speaking for millions of us. without our vote, we do not have an America. And instead of talking about ice cream and come on down, I'll buy you an ice cream.
I mentioned the ice cream area.
Or whatever.
Let's be fair.
This frivolous stuff, okay? You need to listen. This man just got through telling you these are not honorable people. And yet you're saying they're honorable. Honorable people don't lie, not especially about something so serious. And he doesn't have to go down there. We're right here, right now. And he's asking you some very serious questions, and you are not listening. Every time it comes up to the thing, you distract and change the subject. I'd also like to know, is there a way to videotape these proceedings from A to Z? But I also am very concerned about the criminal reputation that this company has.
All right, Marianne, thank you very much. Let's get a response from Gail. Go ahead, Gail.
Yeah, thanks, Marianne. And I'll do better to listen. I think that's an important skill. I try to teach my children to listen. And I've learned a lot from talking to Brad and talking to Peter and talking to my voters and talking to my poll workers. And that's what I want to hear. I want to hear what I can do, though, that's practical. And right now I've got a voting system that does work. I mean, I have paper ballots, and they count very well. I need to have an accessible voting unit. And if the touchscreen's not going to be it, then I need something certified that I can implement and deploy. So I'm very open, and I'm sorry that I came across that I was not listening. That's not my intent.
All right. Brad, you got a next question?
I want to get in one question before we run out of time. Gail, do you create your own paper ballots for the OpScan system there, for the Sequoia OpScan?
We don't print our own paper ballots, no. We would like to.
But do you create them, scan them into the into the database and so forth, so that they can then, so the op scanners can be set up?
You mean, do we pre-mark them?
For
accuracy testing?
No, it's not a trick question. I'm trying to figure out, I've had some information about how these paper op scan ballots are made with the Sequoia system. And my understanding is that you take the ballot and you scan them in, so that then they can be added to the database of the scanner. Is this ringing any particular bell? Do you guys do this in Santa Cruz?
Well, I'm sorry if I'm not following, but the ballots, are you talking after they're voted? Are they scanned?
No. When you're setting up the ballot definition files for the optical scan system.
Got you. Okay. Okay.
Do you guys do that work, or does Sequoia do that?
We do. We have attended trainings, and we do all of our own ballot layout in-house.
Is there a tool, a software tool that you guys use, something called The Bridge, to help you do that?
You know, I've only done it once, and I can't remember the exact term for it. I'm sorry.
There is some sort of software, though, that helps you.
There is a software program that we have, but then we have to flag all the contests and certify all the qualified candidates, and then we have to apply the random alpha and then the different ballot typing, and then we produce ballots in PDF files that I then print and then proof each one by ballot type.
Understood. But so there's a piece of software that helps you do that, to scan them into Access or whatever it is. Does that sound right?
I'm sorry. I don't have all the terms. I just, like I said, I went through it once and have gone through the training, and we'll be doing it again. But yes, there is a software program, but I don't remember the exact term for it.
I got you. Well, we can pick that up later. I have some concerns that piece of software may not be certified, and it should be. So that's why I was curious about that. I'll leave that to go for now.
Okay, I'll check into that, definitely. Okay. And I'm sorry, I don't have the exact.
All right, we're joined by Chris and Salinas. Chris, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, so I just, you know, listening to the answer about the VPAT being the telling us that we got our vote counted correctly, well, the VPAT is not the voter record. So I would like Gail to actually show me my vote after I cast it on the machine. And you can't do that. And even on the scanning tab, those are tabulators. So our ballot is scanned, and then it's thrown into a pile, and then the scanner tabulates the vote. So, but our ballot's the voter record, but the scanner is tabulating the vote. So how can you tell me that my vote is being counted as cast when you can't show it to me?
All right, that's the question. We got about 30 seconds for an answer, Gail.
Okay, well, again, we do the audit, and we'll do a 1% manual audit, and we'll count off of the VPAT, and that's the paper record. So, and then we check and double-check and make sure it's correct.
1%?
Well, 1% of all the contests in some areas, because it actually becomes a greater percentage because every single contest gets double counted. And then we also inspect the ballots, and we rerun them again through our 400 Cs and verify results.
Chris, I'd love to do more. I got to stop because of the clock. Thanks for your call. Gail Pellerin, thank you for joining us. I appreciate your openness and willing to dialogue. We'll continue this.
And on this eve of Yom Kippur, I want to wish Brad an easy fast and a good year.
All right. Thank you, Gail Pellerin. Thank you, Brad Friedman.
Thanks. Back at you. And I hope folks will participate with Gail out there to help her have the best elections possible.
That's what we want to have. Thank you.
Thank you both. And thanks for listening to this edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be back at you same time, same station, sometime real soon.
Keep smiling until then.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show, only on KRXA 540.
Down in Monterey.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
This was a difficult, emotional decision.
San Francisco Giants owner Pete McGowan has decided to let Barry Bonds go.
He's the greatest player of his generation, one of the greatest players of all time, and that it was a big advantage to have a player of that caliber in a Giants uniform over these last 15 years.
But now, after Bonds broke Hank Aaron's home run record, McGowan says it's time to move in a new direction. Bonds, on his website, says he understands, but complains that he wasn't given time for a proper goodbye. Not so, says McGowan.
He is able to say goodbye to his fans. There is a homestand, which he had that opportunity. I mean, we could have announced this after the season, and we did not do that.
The Giants still have 6 home games. Another product made in China is being recalled. 1 million baby cribs sold under the Simplicity and Graco brand names over the past 9 years. CBS News correspondent Sandra Hughes reports a defect has been linked to at least 2 deaths.
9-month-old Liam Johns died in his crib, suffocated when the drop side came loose and he got stuck between it and his mattress.
We're in so much shock.
According to the CPSC, the drop side of the cribs, either by incorrect assembly or faulty parts, can fail and then trap infants.
None of the recalled cribs is currently for sale in stores. Mattel, which has recalled more than 21 million toys manufactured in China, acknowledged today that its own design flaw is to blame for most of the problems. CBS News correspondent Barry Peterson is in Beijing, where a Mattel executive delivered a public apology to the Chinese government.
The design flaw was in toys with magnets, magnets that might break free and be swallowed by a child. Such toys made up about 85% of the recalls. The other 15% were toys with high levels of lead paint. Mattel made no comment on how that happened.
After Britney Spears had an accident in a Los Angeles parking lot last month, the celebrity gossip website TMZ.com obtained this audio recording.
Watch out.
Oh.
You okay, Britney? You okay?
Yeah. I'm a brainiac.
Her car hit another vehicle as she tried to pull into a parking spot. After inspecting the damage, Spears walked away. Now, she's facing criminal charges.
We filed 2 misdemeanor counts today, one count of...